grateful to be in your presence this afternoon, Lord, in this place which you have given us to worship you, believing it is in spirit and in truth, Lord, to be here and a partaker of the full counsels of Almighty God, to give them the preeminence, even as this is right at this hour, for you desiring to bring yourself to us in a way that we can apprehend you, come by revelation, and then through that revelation we give you preeminence, and then we get right back to headship back to the garden where it was supposed to be in the beginning. We thank you for that, Lord. We really appreciate it. And we believe this is in the process now, just getting ready to turn the corner, if that corner has not already been turned, into the resurrection itself. So, Father, we just commend ourselves to your grace at this hour, knowing that you are that great creator and about to create again bodies to come out of the dust and clothe men and women to bring them to that place, Lord, which was in your thoughts in the beginning. So we're grateful we're a part of that today. We declare ourselves to be a part of it. And this great unity wherein we stand, that I and we and the Father are one. Lord, we say that, we believe it. And you know our hearts, Lord, that they are open before you. And that's been proven in this late hour. We don't have any doubt about that, that our hearts, Lord, are one with your word by grace. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. You may be seated. Now, before we get into the message, I want to tell you that I've got to sort of go back on my word from last Sunday. I'm not going to get to what I wanted today. We're going to take more time in coming to the place where we present him in the light of the judge standing amongst the bride. We're just taking further aspects to see just where we'll go now. We're a little group here, and you know, it's a very friendly little group, and the way the church is even, it's kind of like you're sitting in my lap and I'm sitting in your lap, and that's nice. So the preaching is not like I'm preaching so much as we're having a conversation. Now, you say, Brother Vail, it's a one-sided conversation. No. The Holy Spirit's talking to you like he's talking to me. It's a three-sided conversation. It's not one of these, just, you know. And then again, I was just thinking, I'll get your stew one of these days. You bring it over, and I'll sit up here. And so I can kind of lean over the pulpit like a desk and just talk with you. Because sometimes there's things I want to tell you that I feel you ought to know, in the sense of how myself am feeling out toward this subject. Now, I mentioned some time back, just a couple of weeks ago, that I felt the great possibility of having turned the corner into the resurrection, or, as I previously stated, the gravitational pull, leaving the Spirit, leaving the Word. In other words, the Word having run its course as to the message and the usage of it, is now coming to the place where the bride will be transformed as the dead come out of the ground. But before they can come out of the ground, that word has to be in a position so that the word in us becomes flesh. Well, I got that sort of written down here somewhere. I never know what to write down, but I write things down. Somewhere I wrote down. But I'll get at you later on. Now, what I'm trying to get to is this, that two or three years ago, well, it's longer than that now, several years back, back in 75, actually, when it was, I was, as I told you, sort of moody and puzzling as to Brother Branham's statement that the message was so simple. It was going over people's heads there, passing it by, and I said, well, the way these preachers are writing in between the lines, it would take a telescope to count the fleas on Mars to give you the revelation that the preachers are trying to give you, because it is, so Brother Brandon said, gommed up. Now, because I resented what was going on, and spiritually so, one day a voice said to me, the resurrection proves his death. And I'd never ever heard anything like that ever expressed in my life, or having read it to my knowledge. And so I said, well, that sounds like there's something to that. And that evolved the series of the blood, wherein I saw things that I don't know that were ever printed or said, at least I don't know of any books that are extant at this hour, that said some of the things that were said and gone into because of what came to me. Now, the other day, maybe 3 weeks ago, well, let's go back further. In between that series of messages and what is happening now, you remember that I also said the church will go either forward or backward depending on their understanding of the series I was teaching, the theme of which was the vertical to the horizontal. Now, the vertical to the horizontal is a term that I don't know where I got it. I might have got it from business magazines. I might have got it from a sermon. I might have got it originally. I don't think it's original. But the idea is that the Spirit of God coming down moves from the vertical, from Him, into the horizontal, which is out here in the world, in the bride, every place else. Now, how that Spirit moves will depend upon in whom it is moving and for what reason it is moving, and furthermore, whether anyone will try to stop that moving. Now, we've got a couple engineers here, especially we've got Dave, so. What if Dave's got a job as an engineer there at Wright-Patterson? And people start coming by and say, well now, Dave, the thing is we need the floor swept, sweep the floors. They say, well, he should prove that he's humble in doing it. He's stupid to do it. He wasn't called to sweep floors, called to be an engineer. Now, see, the reason I hit that hard is you go to ministries. Now, ministries are millions and millions of miles above engineers. Because engineering is strictly in the carnal, the same as every other job in this world is in the carnal. And it's all got to go. But there is a calling in the Holy Spirit that cannot be shaken down. And that's in every single one of us. See, now the minute a ministry is interfered with, somebody is going to get hurt. And there's a lot of people hurt because ministries are interfered with. Now, you know what I'm talking about, and it's too late to fool around. I'm telling you flat what happened, see. Now, let's go further. He began dealing with me. The next subject was, as Brother Branham said, always looking forward, always looking back, never know what's going on. Now, I have never deliberately sought God for these things. If I were to seek God, I'd disobey the prophet. He said, the harder you try, the further you get from it. And the time you think you got it, that's the time you haven't. But listen, that does not obviate the fact that you've got to get it and you have to know that you've got it. Now, come on. He didn't say one thing to mess us up and leave us in a never-never land of the hodgepodge. Goodness me, we've had that for 6,000 years. Forget it. You're coming to a place of face-to-face and known as your known. No more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine and cunning and sleight of fancy and men and the devil, all these things. We're coming to a place of knowledge. Now, I went along and I unfolded to you the best I could, groping and feeling and letting you know that there was certain things in the atmosphere. As you'll recall, I brought back, I was in Canada and came back, and I had felt that we were with possibility of moving even then, 5 years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, from the word of the mechanics into the dynamics, which would bring the dead out of the ground, which is the corner I'm looking. You see, always looking at that corner. Then I began looking at it and studying with you, showing you what he is doing now under the precept of when he came down, that Jesus had climbed on the throne. The process now is all things under his feet. Because remember, the head of the church is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. And God owes Jesus a debt. And that debt is to bring everything back to the millennium, with the last Adam is our head, the bride and groom of the millennium. Now, I said, well, it's possible we're right in here now to the place. I preached 4 times or so to you, and I suddenly realized that we don't look in the heavens of signs, because you see, when I came back,
I preached that, and Brother Gene came to me and said, Lee, did you know the science astronomers have found the stars are standing still? And I said, no. Now, so what I was wondering, were we standing still? Were we with the message as to the mechanics? Had we moved over to the dynamics? Well, I thought maybe the best we could be doing would be either standing still or moving, because the gravitational pull is equal on both sides. Well, when he said the star was standing still, well, you know that old trick, you know, you take a balloon when you're in school, the special balloon they had in physics class, and they'd blow it up, and then they'd hold the both ends and let it go, and the balloon pop, 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 up and down, and didn't go anywhere, because he had, you know, equal force and equal, two forces in equal direction. They'd have had four, it would have, you know, balanced off even more. So the star is standing still because the forces are there that kept it there. And I haven't heard of that star, and I care less. But I begin thinking, well, maybe God's showing me things in the heavens, because Brother Branham said, things in the heavens, then in the earth, and then so on. Well, then he showed me, he said, no, you missed it. I don't want you looking at anything in the heavens, because it's not for you. That just was that one time to start you moving. It's not in the earth. At least that's my understanding of that. It's in the Word. See, now, we keep looking at the Word, and I've been looking at the Word and looking at the Word, and then he said one day, I don't want you looking at anything except what's the bride. Not even in the church. I hadn't known as I said Brother Branham said that, but he did. Not out there, nowhere. But get to the Word. Now, what I'm leading and taking my time is this. The other day, it suddenly came to my mind out of the blue. And what came to my mind will disturb, don't read it, because it shouldn't, but could disturb the people who have a wrong understanding of Godhead. That's one group. And a wrong understanding of preeminence and worship and some of these things that you just might not get what I'm saying as I caught it myself. Now watch. I ask you a question. And listen carefully and think. Exactly what did Jesus intend to do when he came here? And your major answer is, as John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and you come right to the point of redemption by blood. And that's interesting. And I believe that's true. He came to do that. And you know, if you believe that too strongly, you'll begin to throw everything else out of balance. Because that's one thing, the main thing, but you're missing it. So is that. You see where your minds are going right now? You might say, well, is he preaching heresy? What's going on? See, my mind doesn't question, because right away when I know he speaks, I know there's something to it. See, and I knew there was something there. And what there was there is this. Now let's watch carefully. From Abel, I know, I won't find it all here in Hebrews 11. From Abel, right up to mentioning Samuel, David, Jephthah, Barak, and rest of them, Rahab, and right on down the line, those Old Testament saints, now I ask you a question. What did they have to do with Jesus coming in the flesh and dying? They're already dead. Now listen carefully. And the blood wasn't atoning for them as it atones for us. There's a difference. See? Now you just let your minds go a bit. What did he come to do for them? Death is separation, right? All right. Death is separation. Now, upper and lower Sheol is in one place. Luke 16 shows you that. It's a vast gulf, but it's in one place. That's why spirits could come back before the New Testament. They're moved. They're in different places now. Upper and lower. Don't have upper and lower anymore. They're way apart. Now, he died upon Calvary. And there in prison, separated from God. See? Now, the shedding of the blood meant he had to die in order to get to them. Because he couldn't get to them physically. He had to get to them spiritually. Is your mind beginning to pick up a little better now? So when he came to die on Calvary, and you look back in the Old Testament, now he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and what he does never changes. He was involved in coming not to die, to raise the dead. But he couldn't raise the dead until he died. Now you begin, your mind begin to function now? He never just came to die upon Calvary. He came to get those dead out of there. If you follow what I'm saying, it's abstract, you understand what I'm saying. Now, if you don't, go over in your minds. Again, it's hard to tell you these things because, look, I'm only looking at them now. They'll start coming out in message after message because I know what I'm talking about. He came to do many things. See? Of which the death, the shedding of blood, was the prerequisite, the great prerequisite or the great need. But he came to get them out. And the shedding of the blood didn't do it. You follow what I'm saying? Because they never popped out of the grave because he shed his blood. You follow me? You get it? He had to go and get them. Now he's the same yesterday and today and forever.
Amen.
And he's got to come and get us.
Amen.
And it was in the Spirit he did it, and he'll do it again. Now you see, this is where this is coming from. Now, if you understand then what I'm saying, a lot of this, which I feel will be coming, and I don't know what all's going to come, is based upon the premise that he is everything. And he is doing it all. And it is not functional as in one aspect. It is functional in the whole. And I don't care if somebody did die and rise again if God wasn't in it. It wouldn't mean anything.
Amen.
Because salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
See? Now you're getting to understand grace better and understand sovereignty and understand yourself. Take a good look in the mirror and spit in your face and forget it. And look into him. Because you ain't getting nowhere unless he does it.
Amen.
See? Now, I don't speak to you as a prophet. I don't even know if I'm a teacher. Brother Brown never said I was. He said you have a gift of teaching. That gift may be a lot different than people think. For this reason, it will see the Scripture in a light that a prophet brings it. He'd have to bring it first. But it went into the prophetic. And the prophetic psalm is Jesus, who is this King of Glory. And the King of Glory is coming up to the gates of heaven, having led captivity captive. See? Now the blood opened the door, but he had to do it. The blood opens the door, but he's got to convict you. The blood opens the door, but the Spirit has got to bring you step by step. Justification, sanctification, baptism with the Holy Ghost, sealing wind. God is doing it. So I'm not taking from the blood. I'm just showing you this, that you can't get lopsided with God. The revelation is a complete revelation as to redemption. And the redemption was already played out 50%. Actually, I'm going to leave it at 50%. Because there's more than two parts to the first resurrection. Hard to explain. The first half has already taken place. Call it a half, but it's really not. Old Testament saying. Number two comes us. Number three comes the two witnesses. Number four comes 144,000. They're in it, but they're not bride. So you have got literally 25% over with, at least when it comes to chronology and fitting in of the pieces in the chronology. But really, it's 50% over.
See?
You understand what I'm driving at? You have got to see that what many people, the fundamentalists, see. He does not see what I am telling you. Because he says, well, hallelujah, the blood was shed. And then he thinks there is a normal sequence because of the blood, which is not true. The normal sequence is sovereignty.
Amen.
And what he did back there, he's going to do again. So, there was the apostles, the ones waiting. And they were standing there. They saw the dead come out of the ground. Yep. I don't know how many they saw, but they saw them. They saw Jesus. Now, the same thing with us. We'll be standing here. We're going to see the dead come out of the ground. Now, you tell me, how come they come out of the ground? It wasn't because of the blood. And yet it was because of the blood. But the blood didn't do it. But the blood did do it. See? In other words, it's basic. Redemption is basic, what you have always believed. But you haven't gone far enough. You see? To interrelate until you become right at home with grace and sovereignty. You become relaxed. See, that's why I like what we got here. We're just like family. Sometimes it's worse than family. But it's that way. So we can talk to each other. And I get time that you can sort of get your responses back. I can look at your faces and what have you. And get your responses back. So what you see accomplished there when he died, he can never die again, but he will raise the dead. See? What was he doing down there in the prison? He first went and preached, he went down to raise the dead. There, Abraham and those standing there waiting for him. He said, look, he said, now did you see me? He said, I'm in a hurry. I got to preach to those in Lower Sheol down here. He went down, preached to them in prison, which are disobedient. And he said, I'm going to confirm to you what those prophets said is true. Here I stand. Now I'm going to go back to them that believed it and get them out of here. Do you think he's not doing that now? Come on. See what I'm showing you now? The fundamentalist is so strong on blood, he's not even born again. The charismatics are so strong on tongues, they're not born again. There's only one group born again, those that stay with the revelation. When the revelation begins to break, they follow right down the road. They know where they stand. Now, do you know better today than you ever known he's going to get you out of here?
Amen.
I hope you do, because if he doesn't get you out of here, you're gone. If you and the Father aren't one, by the revealed word, the life that's in the word, come on, you ain't going nowhere. I'm just going to be honest with you. Look, we're not here to pat each other in the back, you know, and have a nice time. If we were, I don't know a nicer time I could have myself. I don't know about you. But, I mean, that's up to you. I feel you must be having a pretty good time. You wouldn't be here either. But if we were just here to have a nice time, just be pretend we're living while we're dead. That's about the hogwash. No. So, okay, now, with that in mind, I believe it'll help you to understand as time goes on, a lot of what is being brought to our attention. The things that Brother Branham said. Now, it's going to be a long service, and I don't like reading at length because, I just don't, but I'm going to do it anyway. And you sit and listen, and we'll see what we can do with the scripture as we get into it. All right, reading in Revelation 1, 12 to 18. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Remember, you can see a voice. That's what it is. A voice is a vision, according to 1 Samuel 3:15. Samuel hesitated to bring the vision to Eli. He didn't see a thing he heard. So if you hear the word of God, you are seeing. And when you see, True revelation, it's the eyes of the heart. And it's the eyes of the heart that the message reflection is all about. Now, all things work together for good. Now, you might get tired of me saying this, but this is all right. I have no malice when I say it. My feet were cut off, and I couldn't preach it. The eyes of the heart. There's no way I could do it. I'm going to tell you, the first time I preached that was in anger. You say, Brother Vader shouldn't get angry. Moses got angry.
Amen.
I'm not Moses. He's nice, I'm not. He had a pillar of fire and talked face to face. I don't. I got problems. Honey, let me tell you, I've got problems about your preaching. Because if I'm leading you astray, I answer every single person I lead astray. Not in this building, but those that hear the tapes, they're pretty well worldwide at this point. I don't send them out. People want them, they can get them. I'm not even traveling anymore. I don't know if I'll go anywhere in the world ever again. I don't know. But it's very, very serious. As soon as I preached it about twice in a row, a voice said to me, see, this is what you would have preached if you'd have preached about the eyes of the heart. But it took the fifth time before I knew why he said it. I'm telling you today, this is the eyes of the heart we're talking about. Or in here you understand and you are a part of it. Now this is hard for me to tell you this in the sense of the word. This sense of the word is hard to tell you. He's in hell. But you see, if I had a spiritual can opener, which I wish I did. Can opener, heart opener. Mind opener, heart opener. I could tell you, I could do something for you. See? But I can't do it. You've got to give back to God from this word, either in understanding His names, His titles, or part of this revelation that suddenly gels with you. Will you come to the definitive? And when you do, something will happen to you. And you can't help it. There's nothing that you will do yourself, but suddenly you will know. That is the relaxation under the seven seas. That's the eyes of the heart. That's the word that your body begins to build around for the resurrection. Because the blood goes through the heart, and the heart is known as the life station, where the life is pumping out. It's where the soul is. And the soul affects the spirit, and the spirit the flesh. See? We're coming into the resurrection. Now look, before God I lie not you. If there isn't one of us, make it. That's going to happen to somebody. See? Now this is the vertical to the horizontal. Do what you want with it. Now see, I'm getting a little hard again, but I'm not really. I'm kind of smiling. I'll make the dog wag his tail. He's going to bite you anyway. Don't you kid yourself. Nobody will stop my vertical into the horizontal. Because it goes in here. I stand you, I lie to you not. And I'm serious before God. And you know I'm serious. I'm not kidding one moment. That vertigo lies in a gift in this word. And it's not the word of Levi that changes anybody. Got to be God in that word.
Amen.
I can't do anything for anybody. If I could do it for you, I would do it, but I can't do it. But I tell you what's going to happen. If not to us, to somebody else. That's the prophet said. If we're not bride, there's a bride up there somewhere. By the grace of God won't stand in your way. But I've got faith for every single person. Until you kick your heels up and your creeds are greater than the word, or your loyalties and affections, be they flesh, be they blood, be they paper, be whatever they are, get in your way, you're finished.
Amen.
Now, families can be ripped up on this message. Husbands may never see their wives in the millennium. Wives never see their husbands. You see where you stand today? I stand right myself. There's only one stands with me. That's God. As David said, my son, you cannot come back to me, but I will go to you. Boy couldn't come back. We lie in a desperate channel right today. You got to be you. Where you stand today? I can't read your heart. But I can tell you one thing. Maybe I hold it up. Huh?
Yeah,
that is good. Well, just leave, we'll leave it here this time. I won't. It gets down and gets my foot caught in it. We're going to read, I turn to see the voices speak with me. All right? God answering back. Conversational. Okay? In the midst of this, I turned and I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now notice, notice the expansiveness is what he saw first. The lampstands. Then he saw in the midst, like unto the Son of Man, clothed the garment down to the foot, girt about the pass the golden girdle, head and hair white as wool, white as snow, eyes like a flame of fire. And you know the rest of it. Now, here's where we do a lot of reading. And this is why the message is going to take so long, and I've taken longer than I should have, but it's all right. If we get too tired, we won't have a service on Wednesday. And I was been tired ever since last Sunday, and I only got feeling a little better yesterday. So, all right. Here, reading in the Patmos Vision, paragraph 165 and continuing for a long time. And I turned and I saw seven golden candlesticks, the midst of seven golden candlesticks, one like the Son of Man. My, did you notice? Stars, candlesticks, lamps. What does it mean? What does this mean? That the dispensation that we're living in is nighttime. Candles and lights and stars mean night. And what do stars do? Reflects the light of the sun till the sun returns. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And a true minister of God don't reflect some flashlight, some match stem, some shuck of burning. He reflects the golden rays of Christ to the church that he's the same, he's alive, he shines on me. Now, I'm going to stop here. Brother Branham was talking on this one time, and I think that you'll find in the church order book, they were sort of casual like we are today, and people begin talking back to the prophet. Now, I want to tell you something right now. I have noticed that every time anybody ever spoke up in the meeting of a prophet, William Branham, the person turned haywire. You never talk back to your prophet. Men talk back, and I doubt if one of those stayed with the message or near it. I don't know, and I just doubt from what I've seen and observed. Many called by name. Where are they today? Where were they even the time I was around him all those years? Now, Brother Branham said that a star reflects light. The man spoke up and said, Brother Branham, a star has its own light. Where did he get it? Same place the sun got it. Would there be a star that didn't have that same light in him that was in the great star holder? They misunderstood exactly what Brother Brown was saying. The star does reflect the light. And it is his own light that God gave him. That's why Paul said, my gospel. But it was God's gospel. Hallelujah. So much for these guys that, you know, they know everything. Fact. True minister of God don't reflect some flashlight, some match stem, some shuck of burning. He reflects the golden rays of Christ to the church that he's the same, he's alive, he shines on me. Amen. That's the light he reflects. The star reflects the light of the sun. See? I think they might as well have put capital S-O-N here instead of S-U-N because he's talking about messengers. So we're reflecting the light of the Son of God, doing the same thing he did, giving light. What kind of light? Gospel light to those. Now let's watch a little further. Take the 13th verse.
in the midst, in the middle of the golden candlesticks, one like the Son of Man clothed a garment down the foot. Golden girdle about the paps. And now here's proof that this doctrine is right about being the Lord's day. Did you notice him? He's not a priest during this time, neither was he a king, he was a judge. Notice a priest, a high priest, when he went into sanctuary, he went into minister to serve. He tied himself around the waist. Tying his girdle around the waist meant he was serving, never tied it over his shoulders. But here he comes out walking out with the girdle tied about the top, with the sash over the shoulder. You know, the veil over the shoulder is symbolic of the taking authority. That's why the woman takes the veil from her face and puts it on the man's shoulder, where the authority goes. She got authority here. See, girded about the paps, the breast with a golden girdle girded up high. What is that? An attorney, a judge. And isn't that cute? He slipped that attorney in there. The judge with his sash over his shoulder, girded up here, not down as a priest. See, that shows he wasn't in his priesthood. Now, John went all the way over into the Lord's day and saw him coming as a judge. You believe he's judge? Let's read John 5:22 right quick. We'll see whether he's judge or not. For the Father judges no man, but committed all judgment of the Son. That right? He's the judge, supreme judge. And John, now listen, and John shows that he wasn't in the day of his prophecy as a prophet, neither was he plumb out into the days of his kingship. But he was in the day of the Lord as a judge. How many knows that the priest having his girdle, his string around his waist, meant he was in service? Anyone who reads the Testament knows the Old Testament knows that. When a priest girded up here, he's in service. As the servant is girded up here, he pointed one to the waist, one to the shoulders. Girded up the shoulders, he's a judge. Read a little further. Golden girdle about the paps. That's right, up here, he's a judge. Now we're going to read the sevenfold glory of his person. Oh my, that makes me shout before I get to it. Notice this. This is a wonderful thing. Just listen to his head. Now watch. He's seven things here. Head, hair, eyes, feet, voice. Seven things he mentioned. Sevenfold glory of Jesus Christ. Let me read it. His head and hair white as wool, as white as snow, eyes a flame of fire, feet like fine brass, they burnt in the furnace, the voice down of many waters, had his right hand, 70, and now his mouth goes a sharp sword, countenance of the sun, his strength. What a vision. What did he see here? The glorified Son of God and a symbol. Now let's be ready now. Notice the first thing. Notice how his hair was as white like wool, his head and his hair was white like wool. Now it does not mean he was aged that did this. That wasn't the reason. He wasn't old to do this. It was because of his experience and qualification and his wisdom. Because he's eternal, and eternal cannot age, you understand. The spirit of wisdom comes in church last time. Let's first turn and we'll picture him out here as this, and we'll find out what it is. Now let's turn to Daniel 7:9 just for a minute and see the same picture in Daniel where he came from. Over here at the Ancient of Time, most everybody, every Bible scholar knows exactly where he's headed for Daniel, now 7:9 verse. And I considered the horn, and behold, there came up another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like a man, a mouth speaking great things. And I beheld their thrones were cast down. Now, 7:9. And I beheld until the thrones were cast down, the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. Ancient of Days, his throne like a fiery flame, wheels of burning fire. Fiery streams issued and came forth before him, a thousand ministered unto him. 10,000 stood before him, judgment was set in the books, white hair, all. Anybody knows that? The old judges in ancient days, like English judges, used to wear a snow white wig. How many remember that? Old ancient judges wore a white wig because they was well. Here he is showing again that John's over in the Lord's day. Saw him as a judge, amen, not a priest, not as king, not as prophet, but as judge. Now right away your mind said, well, if that's the case, then he's no longer prophet. I thought he didn't change. See? Man becomes a father. He was a son, but he never ceased to be a son. Man becomes a husband. Still a son. He got his own father, and he's a father. Then he becomes a grandfather. He doesn't cease being any of those. Okay? No way. God doesn't change. These are aspects. You see what we're looking at. That's what we got to watch and see the aspects at a certain period. Okay. Not as a priest, not as king, not as prophet, but a judge. The Father, like in John 5:22, committed all judgment to him, and he's judging now, comes to judge the nations. Oh, for that day when you see him like that. His hair was as white as snow. Daniel saw him come in the Ancient of Days. Watch him blend these together. The judgment set the books open. I beheld because the voice of the great, great words is the horn. No, I got the wrong place. Daniel said, yeah. He's talking about these. And his wheels. And the fiery streams issued forth and came from him. And tens of thousands came and ministered unto him. And I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words that the horn spake, and I beheld even until the beast was slain, his body was destroyed and given the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had all their dominion taken away. That's all. The Gentiles' power and kingdom will fall, yet their lives were prolonged for a season at a time. And I saw in the night vision, behold, one like the Son of Man come in clouds of heaven. How did he come in this morning? In the third verse, coming in clouds of heaven, the Son of Man. One like the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven. He came in the ancient days, and they brought him nigh before him. There was given him a dominion and glory, and a kingdom, and all people, nations, languages serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed. Come to the ancient days, his hair was white as wool. He's just showing you the same vision as with the same two prophets, John and Daniel. John turned, and he saw one like the Son of Man standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks with snow white hair, the judge. Not girded around the waist, but girded about the paps, up here, a judge. With the sash of judge over his shoulder, he stood at the golden, pure, holy, refined girdle that held his righteousness, his cover. He was covered all the way to the feet. Watch the sevenfold manifestation. 14th verse. His hair, his head, and his hair was white as light wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like flame fire. Head, hair, eyes were like flames of fire. Think of it. Those eyes who once was dimmed with human tears now has become flames of fire. The angry stands there as the angry judge. Why do you reject him? Oh, sinner, think of this. Think of it, lukewarm church member. Think of it. Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecost. Think of it. Catholic, your Virgin Mary had to go up to Pentecost and receive the Holy Ghost and stagger and act like a drunkard. The very mother of Christ had to get that before she would be permitted to heaven. How are you even going to get there any less than that? Think of it. Men, each one of you. His hair, his eyes once dimmed with human tears, yet I want you to know something about those eyes. When he was on earth, they were dimmed with tears like a man, for he cried the grave of Lazarus. Right, full of sympathy. His humanity was clothed. He was clothed, God clothed in humanity in order to take away sin. Yet behind that humanity, he had something behind that could look right down to the heart of a man and know all about him. Why? There was something behind him, yet he was clothed in mortal flesh. But they didn't know who it was. If you don't believe, he said that I am he, you'll die in your sins. Really, that's I am. That's right. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do the works of my Father, then believe the works, if you can't believe me. In other words, didn't believe his words, believe the works. They had to say something. Or how he tried to get the message to them, the revelation. Could look right down at the heart of a man and know all about him. Now you see, you realize he's talking in terms of his own ministry. The discernment. How I think of that, those eyes that once pierced over the mountains, looking into the face of suffering, and could weep like a man, but yet could take the Spirit of God behind that human vision there and see all things. Things which was, things which were, and things that would come. Foretell the end from the beginning. That's because God was behind them human eyes. Let God come into your life and take control of you, and he'll show you things to come. For it's not you no more, it's the Holy Spirit in your life, back there looking through them mortal eyes to pick out things. Oh, glory to God, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, your sons and daughters prophesy, young men see visions, old men dream dreams. Sometimes he has to put you to sleep so he can look through you, and he'll sure show you many things. Your young men see visions, old men dream dreams. Upon my handmaids and servants I'll pour out my Spirit, not upon my deacons and pastors, and upon whosoever will, upon all flesh I'll pour out my Spirit. In other words, he is not a priesthood. It's everybody. You wonder why I scream that out, but it's coming in these church ages. There he was, those eyes. Remember one day those eyes were dim with tears. Those eyes will stand at the judgment. Now they're like fiery flames running to and fro throughout the whole earth. And there's nothing happens but what he knows it. Oh my, it's recorded. Running to and fro through the earth, watching every move, perceiving every thought, knowing everything you're doing, the intents of the heart, what you intend to do. He knows all about it. He knows whether you love him. He knows whatever your intentions are right to serve him. He knows all about it. And what it'll be when you stand that day, when every sin's naked before him, and he stands there at the white throne judgment. Now, God deliver me from that place. I don't want to see that. When an angry God walks out there with fire flashing from his eyes, with the righteousness, the white wig over his head like that, his eyes flashing with fire that knows every thought of your heart and everything you ever intend to do, hide me over in the rock of ages, cleft for me, the old fellows used to sing, when this world's on fire, stand by me, and let thy bosom be my pillow, hide me over in the rock of ages. God, I don't want your judgment. I don't want your... What I want is your mercy, Lord. Give me your mercy, not your justice. Give me your mercy. Not your laws, not any of that. Just give me mercy, Lord. That's all I can plead for. Nothing in my arms I bring. I'm no good, no account. Only simply to thy cross I cling. Lord, that's all I know. One come to take my place.
Sure.
See, that's the thing that people don't want to understand. Well, I believe he took my place. Well, if he took your place, then he's taking your place now. When won't he take your place? See, this is what grace is all about, is God plus nothing, see? Watch his sevenfold personage now of his person, you'll see what he did. His head white as snow, like wool, white hair. Eyes were, head white as snow, his eyes were flame fire. His feet like fine brass burnt in the furnace. Watch now. We just noticed where he's covered, you know. Now watch. His head, his eyes, And now he goes down to feet like brass. Watch the contrast of that image there that John saw of Jesus, what Daniel saw of the world empire, the head of gold and so forth. Look at what this was here standing there, brass. What does brass speak of? Brass speaks of judgment, divine judgment. It shows that his full purpose in coming here on earth is God to be made flesh, and he died for us and took the judgments of God, the divine judgment, and has received a kingdom, that's brass, and salt, it cannot be moved. Nothing harder than brass, and never found nothing yet that would temper it. Judgment. Brass speaks of divine judgment passed on. Look at the brass serpent with us. What did that brass serpent represent? The serpent represented sin. But being brass, judgment already passed on sin. Notice the days of Elijah when they rejected Elijah's prophet. That little thread of the ancient church age. One of these days, I'll bring up and show you Israel had seven church ages too and type exactly with these. That means our church ages. In their church age, in the days of Elijah, they refused him, and there's 3 years and 6 months there was no rain. The ancient prophet said, the skies look like brass, divine judgment upon the nations that rejected God and listened to Jezebel. See, she represents the church systems. Brass also represent divine judgment at the altar where the sacrifice was killed, brazen altar, killed. The very foundation was brass, the judgment. He tread the winepress of the fierceness of God and took our judgment upon him. Turn to Revelation 19:15 a minute. His eyes a flame of fire, on his head many crowns. It was a crown, many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but himself. Clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name was called the Word of God. Now remember, his name wasn't the Word of God. His name was called. See? His name was called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, the armies which were in heaven, followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. That with it he should smite the nations and rule them with a rod of iron. Now you notice that that's not the white throne, but it's the same one. That's not white throne. That's at the end of Armageddon. That's when the saints come back with him. 3.5 year tribulation. See? Now just watch where he's putting these things. What did he do? The wrath of God was upon them for being sinners. Is that right? No one could save himself. There's nothing we could do. We're all born in sin-shaped iniquity. Come to the world speaking lies. What did he do? He came to the earth, hallelujah, and tread the winepress. All the wrath of Almighty God was poured out upon him. Thou art worthy, O Lamb, for you were slain, taking the sins of the world upon him, and he bore our sin, and God poured out the fierceness of wrath upon him. He's wounded for our transgression, bruised our iniquity, cast our peace upon him, with his stripes were healed. Never a man died like that man. He suffered until the blood and water separated his body, and the drops of blood dropped out of his brow before his death. The winepress of the wrath, the fierceness of Almighty God. See, that's what I said a while ago. You can get so carried away with what he did on Calvary that people almost forget that he rose again for a certain purpose. That even when he went down to Hades, he was fighting a mighty battle in order to liberate those which could not have been liberated except for the shedding of the blood. But notice he had to do it. See, in other words, we're dealing with God who is life. There isn't any life in a creed or a dogma or a church or in a performance, in a baptism, in anything. It's in God. And if you don't have God, you haven't got it.
Amen.
See, that's what this message is all about. See, it's life. And we're not talking word anymore in the sense of a word. We're talking life. See, someday those brass feet of justice. When he comes as judge, he'll tread the Antichrist. Now already he went into Revelation 19:11. All right, let's go back here to 2 Thessalonians. And you can see the very same thing in the second chapter when it says in verse 8, then shall the wicked, chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians, then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy the brightness of his presence. Same time. See? He'll tread the Antichrist and all of his enemies. You see what Brother Branham did was put the two together. Hallelujah. He'll walk through the earth with a rod of iron in his hand. Now that's when he rules the earth with a rod of iron. The fundamentalists believe children will be born in the millennium. And Jesus and the bride were ruled with a rod of iron and caused such hatred that this is what is going to cause the rebellion of the devil who is loosed after the 1,000 years. No way. This is a rod of iron right here. See, you got, watch your chronology, because if you don't, you're going to find your own old fundamental chronology will constantly just rip up this word that the prophet taught. He walked the earth with a rod of iron in his hand. Amen. Oh, repent, sinner friend. Well, you got a chance to repent. Of course, by that time, it's too late to repent. You're trying to put it off and think it's just a little story that won't happen. It will happen. It just couldn't happen to me. But it will happen to you. Feed the brass, tread down his enemies, because he suffered and tread out the winepress of the fierceness of God to pay for our sins. But just a minute. You remember what he said there. He said, "You every sin and every word against the Son of Man can be forgiven." That's right. So you got to be careful even when you hear Brother Branham here. There comes a day, though, blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. See, we're coming in that hour. We're in that crucial hour right now. That's why judgment's coming on. All these years, there was mercy, mercy, mercy. But see, we'll get to more things yet. Then we, guilty, poor, miserable sinners as we are, stick up our noses and read some kind of atheistic book and try to think there's no God and say there's nothing like this and judgment can't come. He'll take those brass feet and kick them out, his enemy. He'll wait over the Antichrist. He'll take those apostate churches and sling them in eternity yonder. Somewhere in a consuming fire where she'll be consumed and done away with. And he'll reign on earth, him and his church forever, glory. Head, white as wool, righteousness, experience, eloquence, sufficient, wisdom. Age, white, speaks of wisdom, old, knows what he's doing. He's the fountain of wisdom, rather. He's the fountain of experience. That's true. He's the fountain of every good thing. Therefore, he's represented in this one like the Son of Man with clothed with his white hair hanging down. Daniel saw him many hundreds of years, 700 years, and said he was the Ancient of Days. And one like the Son of Man come in power and united with the Ancient of Days, and the judgment was set. And I want to ask you something. I speak in you, lukewarm church, 10 virgins out to meet the Lord. 5 wise, 5 foolish, as we took this morning. That grafted tree. Now remember, if they went out to meet God, now watch, the Bible said the books were open. Now remember the foolish virgins. He talks about the 10 virgins went out. Now, watch what Brother Branham says in question and answer. When this Holy Spirit that we have, the one that's in our midst now, in the form of the Holy Spirit, becomes incarnate to us, in the form of Jesus Christ, we'll crown him King of Kings. Now, we're looking at that here, of this one, at this moment, that is the judge. He's going to be King of Kings, and yet, notice he's linked up to the foolish virgin. So you've got one God playing his roles, doing his work, and there's no way that you can separate his roles in the sense of the definitive to where you can just say, well, this happened, this will never happen again. The shedding of the blood is the only role. You'll never find the shedding of blood again, but you will find they try to crucify him the second time, and they can't do it. See, but because there's no flesh to crucify. It's the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now he says here, remember they're out to meet God. Now watch, the Bible said the books were open. Daniel 7:9, books open. That's the book of the sinner. Another book open. Who came with him? The church from the rapture. 10,000, 10,000, and 1,000 coming in to minister to him. His wife, the bride. His wife came with him, the church. Judgment set the books open. Another book open, which was the sleeping virgin. And every man was judged thus from the book. You'd be asked to give a reason why you didn't, and then, what then? You know better now. You know better. You might not have known it before, but you do now, see? Where if this righteous will scarcely be saved, where will the sinner and ungodly person appear? And righteous be scarcely saved, where is the ungodly appear? The one who rejects knows better than rejects it. Where will they appear? See, feet like brass, divine judgment. Now, we'll see soon, down at the end of the page. Hair like wool, eyes were flames of fire. Feet like brass, burn the furnace, voice sound of many waters. Voice of many waters. What does that represent? If you want to mark it down, turn to Revelation 17:15, you'll find the Bible said, the waters that thou sowest its thoughts is thickness and multitude and people and tongues. All right, voice. What a terror, horrible thing for a drifting soul in the sea of life. No pilot to guide him, a loose floating with the tides to hear the roar of a giant cataract, the falls. What a horrible thing would be to a soul drifting, voice of many waters. What is his voice? It's the judgment. The voice of the minister through the Holy Spirit that's cried out to the people in every age standing there. The voice of many waters cried out, thickness of multitudes, the voice of those 7 stars in his hand to every church age, preaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the baptism in Jesus' name, speaking in tongues, the power of God, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the second coming divine judgment. The voice of many waters coming forth from this one that looked like the Son of Man, many waters.
What'll it be to know that you sat in meetings and heard that you should get right with God and receive the Holy Ghost and a drifting soul to hear that voice speak out in that meeting? That you sat in and heard the judgment of God preached and refused it. The great fall is just below you, the great cataract that'll take you to eternal doom. Voice of many waters, fourth personage of Him. Voice of many waters. How are you going to do it when it's recorded in glory, when the voice tonight is recorded? Your voice is recorded. Your thoughts are recorded. The man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That ought to give you a clue to why you get transfigured, too. Notice your voice is louder in heaven than your thoughts are louder in heaven than your voice is on earth. That's right, Bible says. So certainly it is. God knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows all about it. And how does He know it? Because He can discern with me, judge between. He said to the Pharisees, you hypocrites, how can you speak good things out of the abundance of your heart? The mouth speaketh, calling me master good, and I know. I can look right through you and see you're hypocrites. You don't mean that. You don't mean what they say, see. How many times did that happen to Brother Branham? Not to other people except Paul and William Branham. Now I want to ask you something else. Let me say something to people to say. Let me say this to you. Now you drifting soul, you poor drifter that's drifting over that great cataract, be careful. It'd be a horrible thing when you know there's no saving for you then. You can't be saved then. You know your doom lays right there before you. When you know it, in a few minutes, you'll hear that voice speak out, depart me, works iniquity. And in everlasting fire, you prepared to every change. Now you see, now look at, you're looking down the road when I read this. Brother Branham said, in his vision, he preached to souls in prison, and there'll be a time when the bride preaches to the eternally lost. See? I'm trying to lay a foundation to help you, because always in hearing something like this, you're going to project down the road. And I'll read to you why later and show you what I read here, why you don't dare project too far down that road. You see? That's why I believe the Lord told me to look at it and consider, did Jesus just come to die upon Calvary? That wouldn't have done it. He had to go down and get him out. See? There's... I hope you're catching what I'm saying here, because this is where you're going to get more and more in the seals as you go along and see why Brother Branham said the things that he said and why you have got to understand revelation, preeminence, and then your change. And if you don't come in that sequence of revelation and preeminence, you're never going to get changed. I'm sorry. You're not going to do it. Not because I say so, but the Word of God says so. I got nothing to do with it. I'm just glad I don't have anything to do with it. It lets me off the hook. See? Oh, what will that be on that day when that voice thunders out as many waters, many church ages forming out? Now, that's going plumb down to the white throne. See? That's judge at the white throne. But already He put it in Revelation 19. See? I showed you that from Daniel last Wednesday. Now, I hadn't even realized that he said this because I don't always go over these books, see. Now, you drifting soul, you poor drifter that's drifting over that great cataract yonder, be careful. It'll be a horrible day when you know there's no saving for you then. You'll know that right after you die. You can't get saved then, you know your doom lays right before you. When you know within a few minutes you'll hear that voice speak out, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire, prepare them as angels. Now that's in a type of resurrection body, not like ours. But be durable, something like asbestos in a flame. That's right. It's going to be durable. No fooling, see? Prepare them as angels. You'll know when you hear that great fall or roaring of those voices of those meetings, when you're passing out of this. Now, you remember one time I said my idea of what could happen is because there'll be a judge there, that there'll be witnesses called. What if all these people, and that's right, the bride will witness? Be a great courtroom drama which might last hundreds of thousands of years, because look, we know time in a little achy, miserable way. Over there, there's no achy, miserable way except those going to suffer. We could go by through 1 million years and not even know it. I suggest we'll go through trillions and not even know it. So look, we're not dealing with something here which is infinitesimal in its time. It will be in its time unit when you compare eternity, but it's going to go a long, long time, see? I want you to understand that these voices, and notice it's voices. And you didn't catch it, did you?
not character.
Amen.
Not charismatic. No, it's not fruit. Word.
Praise God.
And it's not your word and mine. It's His word.
Amen.
That He gave us. You see, these things become more clear all the time as we just take our time, see? What a horrible thing, what a nightmare. Don't let it happen to you people. Repent. Get right with God now while you can get right. Now notice, repentance is a change of mind. Now, you know, I know a lot of people, they just thought Brother Branham was a little bit stupid, you know. Like he'd talk about this man that was down there in the basement. Somebody says, hey, there's a sun shining out there. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, come on out and see. No, I wouldn't believe it or thought. I ain't going out there. You know, they thought that he was just more or less a little far out. Come on. That is going to be mild at the judgment day. That is going to be a little typical human little expression, but fulfilled under the wrath of God. So you sat there, and literally you thought, but you didn't make a budge.
Right. That's right.
See, it's where it is the serious, you see, what we're dealing with. Now I want to ask you something else. What is any sweeter to a man? Now listen, this is part of it now that's anchored. Lying back under the evergreen tree to hear the rippling brook. I want to tell you, there's nothing sweeter to go to sleep by. I'm terribly nervous, guy. The room upstairs when there's a little bit of water is flowing, it would tinkle over these rocks. Is that thing always giving you trouble? I've got an awful job here. What if I move this forward a little bit here and get a little slack for you? Because I moved just enough to kind of upset you. I was in that little room upstairs, and long as that water trickled and tinkled over the rocks, man, I slept great. So I know what Brother Brown's talking about in a way maybe you've never had that privilege of knowing because you don't have nervous sleep like I have. See, and man, that he's so true. That little, oh, that sounds great, you know, that water. In fact, I got a little thing that makes noise on my bed. It's supposed to sound like water. And I said, ha! Phony, phony, phony. I'm not settling for imitations. I'm settling for the sound of His word.
Amen.
Yep. That moves around us, the little rocks. I'm not talking about Arkansas either. I'm talking about here. That the church setting in heavenly places with the voice of God rippling sweetly and talking to them. See what it is? It's condemnation to the sinner and blessing to the saved. Remember when I told you the scripture runs in parallels? Blessing, cursing, blessing, cursing, blessing, cursing. People get all mixed up because they don't realize scripture has run in continuity since the time of Moses. Mount Abel cursing, Mount Gerizim blessing. And the 12 patriarchs were on the tribes, like, you know, making the 12 patriarchs, 12 tribes, made up. They had the representatives on those mountains. See? Well, all right. The Christ that's in the midst of the bride represents the blessing on Gerizim, but it's the same word that's going forth that's the curse on Abel. See? So, one place he's a blessing to the sinner, the other place, to the one that's coming in, the other place he's just going to be a curse. Now, a man who safely anchored his boat upon the rock Christ Jesus, and that's a contrast. That's what's that, a bad metaphor or something there? Anchoring a boat on a rock, you anchor a boat to a rock. Right. But it's all right. I like the thought. I can just see this water all around and my boat on a rock. I never did want to go anywhere anyway. just stay with that word until he gets me out of here. Yeah, I like that. And just listen, how he can rest. Well, maybe the boat is on a rock now, you got off the water and the water's all around you and you feel great. That's how I took this anyway. Enter in that rest. That's under the seventh seal. How I like to get the water, where the waters are running. If we ever go fishing or anything, I usually try to find a place where the water's rippling. Now buy that, because it just makes you rest. You know you ever want to feel good? Go up to Niagara Falls. Sit on the Canadian side to watch the American side. And just sit there when the crowd's down and close your eyes and listen to that water. Man, you can just relax and you can just get plumb out of your miserable, itchy, crawly skin, spiritually speaking, and you feel so good, and then you leave the falls. Who turned the water off? You don't feel good again. But you get back where the waters, that's under the seventh seal. Keep under that seventh seal. Isn't it beautiful when you can really anchor your soul into Christ in such a place that you get quiet before Him and hear His voice speaking to you? I'm the Lord that healeth thee. I'm the Lord that gives thee eternal life. Now, just a while ago, He's talking about that same one riding forth, destroying. See? He hasn't changed any. See? Hasn't changed at all. That's what we're leading up to. Within a few sermons, we'll get it covered. Now, I'm the Lord that heals you. I'm the Lord that gives you eternal life. I love you. I knew you from the foundation of the world. I put your name in a book. You're mine. Fear not. It's I. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Then I sing. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep. But I'm safe. But in Jesus I'm safer more. Remember the very voice. Now listen. That speaks sweet to you will condemn the sinner. The very flood that saved Noah destroyed the sinner. See what I mean? The voice of many waters. What? Hair like wolf, eyes flame fire, feet like brass, many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, seven stars. Mr. Seven Stars, you saw in my right hand seven golden candlesticks. Seven stars, seven messengers, the seven churches, the seven churches, the seven candlesticks, or lamps, what they are is lampstands. They're actually lamps. It's like Brother Branham said, your candle would soon smoke. But you see, what it is that's the life coming through all the time? The wick. You could take the wicks, as it were, the souls of men, if you wanted to put it that way. Those stars, as they were. God anointing each one, bringing His word to each age, and light shining. See? It doesn't matter if God's voice is in the doorknob. See, people get carried away with... That's what Brother Branham couldn't stand. He couldn't stand anybody that made himself something in the presence of God. That's why that man was so humble. You see, that's because he was in the presence of God. I've talked to different people, and there's nobody, well, who has a modicum of sense, but would tell you that Brother Branham's the most humble man he ever met in his life. Most humble man you ever met in his life. Well, you see, when you understand the presence as he did and walk in it, you'd have to be terribly neat. Or you didn't have anything in the first place. It was just a fluke. it just wouldn't work. And you'll notice that people who really got something from God, they never ever claim anything. Now, he interprets it for him so there'd be no mistake. An angel for each church age. Oh, that's going to be beautiful. This week, we go back in history, pick up those messengers and see the ministry they had. They had the same ministry. Exactly the same all down through the age of that little church. Someone ago, someone said, you know the Catholic Church. There's a good saying that it's the real church because it stood all down through the ages. I said, that's no mystery. When it had all the government and everything else behind it and how it stood and waved the storm. But the mystery to me is how the little itty bitty minority could ever wave the storm that was sawed asunder, thrown to lions, put on stretchers. You know, the rat, and eaten, burnt, and by lions, and killed everything else, and how they survived it. It shows that the hand of God is with them, that's all. And still today, her light's still burning. Amen. Yes, sir. Now, the seven stars in my right hand. He had seven stars in his right hand, which means the seven ministers of seven ages. It's beautiful. How he could go back and get the minister that brought the message to the Ephesian church, the minister who brought the message and held it until death, right down to the Smyrna age, the Pergamene age, the Thyatiran age, on down to the age, even this age now. Ministers that kept and brought the light and held it back like the original at the beginning and brought the light through. Now, it didn't mean they brought all the light. But remember, the light is Christ. And they never deviated from the fact that He alone was life and light. They had a lot of mistakes about Him. But they never deviated. See, that's why it came to the place the Dark Ages took almost all the oil, all the wine, but it didn't destroy them, see? Now, he held them in his right hand. Think, right hand doesn't exactly mean like Christ sitting on God's right hand. It doesn't mean that God's got a right hand because he's a spirit, not a hand like ours. But Christ was the right hand of power. Your right hand, the fellow stands by you, the closest to you. In other words, that's the right hand of power. That's Christ with his right hand. See, his authority is power. Manifested. And remember the seven stars in his right hand. Just think, they were drawing their current, their light from him. They are completely under his control in his right hand. Oh, every true servant of God is the same way, held in. Who can harm them? Who can harm? Angel means minister, messenger. And he said, who can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ? Can sickness, peril, nakedness, can sword, can death? I am persuaded, said Paul, Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ, for we're completely yielded to his right hand. Somebody said holy roller, holy roller. That don't bother a bit. You're a religious fanatic. They don't even hear it. They're completely yielded to drawing the light from his right arm of power, reaping his light in meekness, kindness, gentleness, patience, signs, and wonders, miracles. Let the world call it witchcraft. Whatever they want. See, that was in the first and last age. Make us no difference, because we know we're yielding his right hand. Isn't that wonderful? Well, let's hurry, because we don't want to wear you out. In his right hand, seven stars. Seven represents the last representation of his person. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Out of his mouth goes a two-edged sword. Now, voice of many waters, out of his mouth, right hand, seven stars. Two-edged sword. Now, do you know what the sharp two-edged sword of the Bible is? Let's just catch it so you'll know. Hebrews 14, 4 and 2. It's really 4 and 12. Just turn right back a page or two and you'll see it. Here it is, 12th verse. The word of the Lord is quicker and more powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner, which is a divider or judge between thoughts. So what's it? It's a judge. Now you tell me he's not a judge? You see? Look. He always is everything he has ever been or will be, but in certain periods and times he manifests it more than other times and periods because it is necessary and proper to do so. You follow that? Okay. Then they call you a mind reader. Who's he talking about? Himself. It's the word of God made manifest in his church. See, a judge. Well, why not? See, because there's a division. That's what a judge is all about, is to make a division. See, so let's just keep all these things in mind now. Now, it's the word of God being manifest in sharpening and two-edged sword. I just happened to think of something out there. I don't know that I wrote a scripture. Get Revelation 19 a minute. So I have an open white horse. Here comes right again judgment. Sat there on called Faith and True. Righteous as he does and judges and makes war. His eyes a flame of fire. Uh-huh. On his head were crowns. He got his kingdom now. He's in his kingdom. He's a king? Yeah. But he's a judge. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself. Clothed with vesture dipped in blood. Name called the Word of God. What went out of his mouth? What went? The white horse rider. Revelation 7. And so on. A sword went out of his mouth. What was he? The white horse rider. Revelation. Notice. Out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword. And finally, by his word, when he it's made manifest to all the sons of God, he'll tramp every nation down with his word by his sharp sword. And that's, he talks about being manifested to all the sons, means all the sons will be in the manifestation too. Because the fullness of the manifestation comes in the resurrection. And his right hand out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Counts was like the sun shining in strength. A sharp two-edged sword. What was going from the mouth of this person? The word of God. It's sharp two-edged sword. What's it doing? Discerning the thoughts of the heart, the intent. Goes even deeper than the meat, the flesh. The bone, cell, into the bone, down to the marrow of the bone. From beyond that, discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what the word of God does. Now, everybody knows, every doctor knows that the somatic diseases really are the preeminent diseases, and almost everything flows from that. The psychosomatic problems. In other words, the word soma really means healthy. It has to go down here. But psychosomatic has to do with the fact that something has gone wrong in your psyche, and this brings this on. See? All right? Now, what if the word of God is not down there? Where are you going to end up at? You're not going to be in the judgment, which is unto righteousness. Now, I'll show you by scripture later on in that one. You'll end up in the judgment under condemnation. See? So that word's got to be down in there. Watch, he says. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And now the word's made flesh in his church, dwelling among us. His angels in his hand minister, God depending upon his church. God is relying on us of this age to bring the gospel light to a dying, demon-bound, traditional world. God laying the burden on me and you. Woe unto us if the heathen die without knowing. Or if they carry reading, writing, arithmetic, and a few religious pamphlets, and they made no more than a bunch of proselytes. I mean the gospel. The gospel is not the word only. Paul said so. The gospel didn't come to us through word only, but that word made manifest. When the word by the Holy Ghost is, the word is planted into the heart that's got the Holy Ghost and produces what the word said it would. And the word can discern the thoughts of the heart. A discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, the word does that. Goes from his mouth a sharp two-edged sword. He's talking his own ministry again, the same as the ministry of Christ. Wake up the heathen. Something's got to happen in these days. The Word of God. His name was the Word of God. The Word was made manifest.
Now, I want to see how far I want to get down here. I've got a little way to go yet.
Go into all the world, Mark 16. His last remark to the church. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Preach to every creature. What is that? Demonstrate the power of the Holy Ghost. Now watch. It's not just teach the Word. He never said go teach the Word. He didn't say, the Scripture does say teach. But doesn't say, but in this case, he's bringing out the thought here. Go preach. Not teach. You don't teach the gospel. You preach the gospel. You teach the Word, see, once they get the gospel. These signs follow and believe. This gospel, in my name, cast out devils, speak in new tongues, take up serpents, drink deadly things. It won't hurt them. Lay hands sick, they recover. And they went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them. That's the gospel. The gospel is faith. These signs follow the people. Little flock, the minority, always minority, never majority. All right. One more quote. At seven, had he had his hand seven stars. His count was out of your mouth, go to the sharp two-edged sword. Let's see. Now he said here, now watch. Let's turn to Matthew 17. After 6 days, he took Peter, James, John, and high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, raiment white as the light. He was transformed. What did he do? Passed himself into transformation over into his coming day. See? Now watch. Just a few hours before this, Jesus had made this quotation. Verily I say unto you that some stand here. How many know what I'm going to say? Some stand here that shall not pass away, not die, shall they see the Son of Man coming in glory. Is that right? And he took Peter, James, and John, the witnesses, caused the Old Testament, every word had to have three witnesses, took them up the mountain. Now, notice what come first. I just can't stop here. Just got to look at see this. Look. What's the first thing they saw? They took Jesus took them on a mountain. He had them taken up, was transfigured, transformed, raiment shined like sun, middle of strength. There appeared Moses and Elijah. What form is the Son of Man coming in now? At first, will appear, will be Moses and Elijah. Now notice, before Jesus returns to earth, a little ahead of time, but the Spirit of Elijah will return back to the earth and turn the hearts of children back to fathers. The Bible said so. Jesus saw him here. Now, see, what you're looking at is what I'm trying to bring as the prophet brought it. There is a chronology here. There is a revelation here of the person. But notice that before this one that he has placed as the judge and described him and even taken the same one to be the king, he said, Elijah's got to come. See? So just watch everything. And who was standing there? Elijah and Moses. Bible said so. Jesus saw him here. Disciple, apostle saw him. Order the coming of the Son of Man glorified. He's to be glorified and coming back. The first thing they saw him was what? Elijah. Then what? Moses. Israel turning yonder, the law keepers, and then the glorified Son of Man. Now that's the same one he's talking about. That's the judge. Doesn't say judge all the way through, but he is judge all the way through. But the aspects take their time in coming out, like the white light that's separated by a prism makes a rainbow. It's what's in the white light that comes on there in the rainbow. Now, and then the glorified Son of Man. Do you see the order is coming? The Spirit of Elijah, the witness of the last church age, see, coming in power to manifest him. Then 144,000 Jews on Mount Sinai, where Israel has become a nation itself, the oldest nation, the oldest flag, oldest army, oldest everything. They are one of the members of the leagues of nations because they are a nation. Jesus said they should never be cast away and all these things fulfilled. The mystery of how that bunch of Jews, persecuted everywhere, turned out, run out, throwed out, like the church through the ages of rejection. And yet Jesus said, when you see the fig tree putting forth his bud, the nations that back in the homeland, the time is at the door. This generation shall not pass away, all these things be fulfilled. This strain, this people shall not pass away, that strain of people. Hitler tried to kill him. Mussolini tried to kill him. Stalin tried to kill him. Everybody else, they'll never will be abolished or banished from the earth. They will be a people, a nation standing yonder. Amen. There will come Moses and Elijah. Oh, hope you get it. All right, sun shining in strength, his countenance transformed, transfigured. Another thing, in Revelation 21:20, you want to put it down, the New Jerusalem. He's the Lamb that's in the city that's the light thereof, shining. Now he said, he's the light. He was a judge. He's the Lamb. He's glorified. He's king. He's back Lamb in New Jerusalem. The midst of the city shall be the light. The nations that save shall walk in light. There's only one light. There haven't been seven lights, there's been one light. How could there have been seven church ages? Now, it doesn't matter one little bit. It's been that same one. They did everything to destroy the light. But they can't do it. The Bible said nothing can be done about it. Not only that, he's also in the coming, John saw him in the Lord's day, the Son of Righteousness. And Malachi saw that. Malachi didn't have a vision, he just said it. John saw the vision. All right, let's just admit it. Who's here? Son of Righteousness. Same time Elijah. Well, who is he? He's that judge he talks about. He's that king that's coming. He's that white horse rider called the Word of God. He's that light. See? I had to read all this to get this across to you, to make you understand that you pick up one thing and you run with it, and you divide it into pieces. How many pieces has Jesus got? He ain't three gods. Now, Jesus is Jehovah's Savior. And Jehovah is the collective name to you and me concerning Elohim. Now remember, I showed you that in Scripture. Way back there, God said to Moses, by my name Jehovah was I not known. No, don't you give me that stuff. Because on the Mount Moriah, where Abraham took his son, the word came, it called the place Jehovah Jireh, which means God provides. That's over 400 years. Or about 400 years ago, before Moses got that. What was it? Elohim was only known individually and privately. God of Abraham, one. God of Isaac, one. God of Jacob, one. Now it's time for a nation. So now the name is given collectively. God wasn't telling any lies. Israel never did know him as Jehovah. Abraham knew him as Jehovah. Isaac knew him as Jehovah. Jacob knew him as Jehovah. Noah knew him as Jehovah. Individual. Even back in Noah's day, there might have been a collective revelation that got lost. You said a big flood, a lot of things get lost. One man doesn't remember too much in a big flood. Seven weren't that much help. Took God to give us the knowledge we got, right? Alright, where is the reading here now? Not only so, he's coming, John saw him, the Son of Righteousness. Son of Righteousness rises, healing in his wings. That's immortality, that's now. See? Let's go to Malachi. Well, he took it out of Malachi, didn't think he was going to. Fourth chapter, yeah, there it is, second chapter. Read, it's the first, the third, no, it's the fourth chapter, that's right. Got a little story to tell my precious wife sitting here. Well, I want to read this to you. And I'll tell you something about it. I told you before. I gave a rough time before we were married. I've tried to make it up after we married. Isn't that nice of him? I think most of give our wives a nice time before they're married, a rough time afterwards. Yeah, I like this old boy. He's my kind of a prophet. Yeah, he's good. I'm not kidding you. I love Brother Branham because he was so human. And these goody-goody boys, I can't stand these inhuman guys. I don't know, maybe I'm nuts. But he was very, very human. And we're supposed to be, you know. And I didn't know whether I wanted to be married again or not, so she got all broke up, and I thought she was too good a girl, just leave go and let some good man take care of her. And I thought I wasn't even worthy of it, and I'm not of her kindness anyhow. She was all trouble and didn't know what to do. This has been years ago, but 20 years ago, she got stirred up, she already cried day and night. And I was trying to break away from her, not because I didn't love her, because I didn't want to take her time, because better find somebody, some good person, because she's too good a girl, just to let go like that, and me to just, you know, go out and, I guess he means date with her, do things with her. And I thought she loved me, and I knew I loved her. And then I thought, well, I'll try it. I'll get a date with some other girl, go out and make her feel bad about me. I like to kill her. I hated awful bad afterwards. She got so broke up, and I told her, you're too good a girl. I don't want to take all your time like that. And she said, but Bill, I just love you, Bill. And that's the only one I can love. And I said, I've always loved you. And she said, I appreciate that, but you know, I'm a hermit. I'm just going to live like a hermit. See, I ain't going to get married at all. So she was set on a poor little fella, and she went out to the shed. And she got out there and she got down on her knees and said, oh Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't want to disobey you, and yet I love Bill and I don't know what to do, Lord. Will you just give me a little bit of consolation? Will you try to just help me a little bit? I never did ask you before this day, Lord, and I hope I never have to ask you again. But if you'll just help me, let me open the Bible, and you give me a scripture. I've heard people say you did that, and she opened up and she came to Malachi 4. Behold, I send unto you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord. That's not what the Bible said. In black words, in front of runner, said, "Behold, I send you Bill Branham, the prophet." That's what the Bible said. Of course, it was a vision. It wasn't an optic illusion. Actually, vision. I learned that when I saw her the last time. So she looked at, "Behold, I send you Bill Branham, the prophet."
Okay.
This is why she knew she was going to marry him, because let's face this flat. "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet." You see, this is one time I blew it. Russian roulette. Bible roulette. I gunned myself down. "No," it said, "Bill Branham." Well, sweet hallelujah. She's a good girl. I'm glad she got him. She's a wonderful one. She said, "I just got up from there well satisfied we was going to get married as anything, see?" Not Malik, not Elijah the prophet. Bill Branham. That's sure cute. That's how the Lord is. He's good, isn't he? "For behold, the day cometh, burneth an oven, all the proud, y'all shall do wicked, shall be a stubble, the day cometh, shall burn them, saith the Lord of hosts, shall leave neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the sun," issue under righteousness, rise, healing, wing. The sun shining in his strength, see? Now where's that strength going? To the back. How is she going to get out of here without that strength? See, God arose on this earth to shed the blood for remission of sins. Right. Then the next thing, he sends the spirit and soul down, identified, this was that one. Preached to the lost and said, "You missed it." Now they're judging right there, separation. Then the power of God falls, and he just rips the gates of hell apart and takes them out captive. And as he swings into his uncorrupted body, which won't corrupt, their theophanies go into a body which demands instant creation. The door to it so that God could do it. See, now this is the things we're looking at. This God, multifaceted, hundreds of titles, literally 200 names, I think they call it in Scripture. Maybe there's 400, not sure what the students say, because I never bothered looking at them, I don't think I ever will. But every one of those is resident in God. And it's twofold. Gerizim, Abel. Not evil. And evil sounds like evil. See? So, now the Son of Righteousness is arising with healing for immortality is the same one. Incarnated. On that white horse destroying. Not two people. One. He becomes incarnate to us. Sun shining his strength. Oh, the strength of the Son of God shining in our midst tonight. He's talking about that good. He's talking about the rod of iron. He's talking about coming back at the white throne. Oh, the strength of the Son of God shining in it, standing in the middle of the seven golden candlesticks. Any sevenfold person is here as a judge. As one who has suffered and died for us and taken the divine judgment upon himself and has tread the winepress, the fierceness of God, to the sinner he's a horrible cataract. And a loose stole upon the life, the sea of light, and to the church a sweet savor, anger and rest, and the hearing of the bubbling brook as you lay in rest, perfectly satisfied in Christ. What a time, shining upon us with his warm rays. Fear not, I am he that was, which is, and shall come. I am the Almighty, I am that judge. You see what I said a while ago, why I took my preamble as long as I did to tell you why he began speaking to me? Is because he does opposite with me. Everybody's screaming about the resurrection, the death this, the death that, the resurrection. God spoke and turned it around backwards. He said the resurrection proves he's dead. Didn't become negative, he became absolutely positive. Because if God hadn't erased him, he would not have been that one. Then you take everything and work from that premise. Now we're working on the same premise. That the shedding of the blood didn't do it, per se. See? Now we're back to the Roman candle.
Start with the blood and watch everything move. Start with the prophet. Watch everything move. Leave the blood, it dies. Leave the prophet, it dies. Now, you're going to have to put the last two sermons together, see? I'm sorry we didn't get Tuesday's tape out to anybody, but you'll have to try to get them today if you can. Because we're always bringing things up, see? Fear not, I am he that was, which is, shall come. I am the Almighty, beside me none other. I am Alpha and Omega. I'll give unto you that is the thirst of the fountain of the water life freely. We already had a drink already. What a promise, what a love affair it is. The Lamb in the middle of the city that doesn't need a night. He's the Son of Righteousness, healing his wings. Puts him way down there, puts him here, puts him here. Where is me? He's the light of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. My sword is my comfort, trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care in him to roam. Roll. He's the light of the valley, the bright and morning star. The Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. Altogether, the line of the tribe of Judah. The day star. Yes, sir, oh, that great morning star as it comes out to shine, hail the day coming on, hurling it, saying, the day is fixing to break, the sun is coming close. He's already here. What's coming close? Flesh. That's where people in this message don't understand right now. The capstone is here, but the headstone is not. Because we get caught up through the headstone, but the capstone comes down. One spirit, one flesh. The one that's in the spirit here now becomes incarnate to us when he gets up, goes up. incarnates himself the body of Jesus. See, not three gods, one God. The day is fixing to break. The sun is coming. The sun, S-O-N, is coming close. And he pulls himself out behind all the other stars with healing in his wings. When the word goes forth, he can take over. Now back to our message, and we're closing now to get ready for tomorrow night. Because the time is 8:45, we don't want to keep anyone too long just so we can be here. In other words, for time's sake. All right. Oh, see, one little way to go yet. The Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Now he's countenance. He was the judge. Or another thing to show that he was over in the Lord's day. You believe that? He went over in the Lord's day and saw the Lord as judge, not as priest, not as king, but as judge. He is the judge. Do you believe that? The Bible says he's the judge. Here was all dressed as judge, showing what he'd done, what he was, and what he was to the sinner, what he was to the Christian. Here he stands now with the voice of many waters, and countenance was like the sun shining in strength. 17th verse. I saw him fell as he was dead. Prophet couldn't stand no more. See, just a vision. Snapped his strength. Right down there. Laid his hand upon me saying, don't you fear. I'm the first and last. Have the keys of hell and death. Don't get scared. Why should we fear? Why would the church fail to think upon his words? Let's stop here a moment because we're closing. Why would this church ever fear? What has he ever promised that he hasn't manifested before us? Why would you fear a punishment or a hereafter? Fear not, I am he that was, he that is, and will come. I'm first and last. I have the keys of hell and death right here. Why? I've overcome and conquered both hell and death. That's both grave and Hades. Death itself, Hades itself. For you, I've overcome it all. I overcame hell, death, and grave when he was here on earth. Man has set out to conquer. Do you know that? Napoleon set out to conquer the world. He did it at the age of 33. At the age of 17 to 25, Napoleon was a prohibitionist. He didn't believe in drinking or anything. He went to France. He was not a Frenchman. He came around. It was Corsica, wasn't it? He went over there to get even with France because he didn't like it. Didn't like France. But he was conquered. He went forth and he conquered France. He took them Frenchmen and conquered the world. At the age of 33, sat down and cried because there was nobody else to conquer. Died an alcoholic. Defeated. Couldn't even conquer himself, see? And then met his Waterloo at Waterloo. He met his end at Waterloo. I've been out there and seen the old signs and the relics and things out there within the land. Now we take you, that conqueror. He started a young man and he took the wrong side to conquer. And he died of disgrace. In other words, he was a conqueror, but he went the wrong way. There's another young man who in the world, he died at 33, and he conquered everything that he could conquer, could be conquered. When he was on earth, he conquered passion, pride, conquered sickness, conquered devils, conquered death. When he died, he rose, he conquered hell. He went up in and conquered everything that was against mankind. Tread the wine press of God, crushed it down, conquered death, hell, grave, sickness, four maladies, everything else, overcome it all. Rose up the third day and conquered it all. All right, I'll just skip a bit and read this. Always breathtaking, friends. See him standing there, the supreme deity. He's the judge, the priest, the king, the eagle, the lamb, the lion, the alpha, the omega, the father, son, Holy Ghost. He that was, which is, and shall come. Tread out the winepress of the fierceness of God, and pleased everything till God said at the cross, it's finished. Pleased God till the Spirit left him, came back Easter morning, picked him up, and rose again for our justification.
There John looked and saw him standing there with feet of brass, eyes like a flame of fire running to and fro throughout the earth. Daniel saw him 700 years before that in the same position, the same kind, same man standing there ancient days, one like the Son of Man. What was he telling you? Who it is? Who's this one that was in flesh that died? God took upon himself a human form that the blood might be shed. God gave life. Literally gave a life to that egg and that sperm. Mary became, as it were, the chemical faculties that brought him on earth so that man could have a part in his redemption. The election of God was manifested. Daniel saw him, the ancient of days, one like the Son of Man that joined with him, and all judgment committed unto him, standing at the white throne of judgment. Seeing these things, what kind of people ought to be? God bless you is my prayer. Do you love him? Do you believe in him? Now, that's a lot of reading. That's all right. We haven't gone home yet. I'm sorry to preach yet. It doesn't bother you. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother you. If it does bother you, I'm sorry for you. All right. Now, you notice that I read that I used the very same scripture that Brother Branham when I taught last Sunday and Wednesday, which I did the same scripture. Took John 5, Matthew 17, Hebrews 4 and 12, Daniel 7, and it came out as exactly Brother Branham said on page 169, paragraphs 169 to 172, and a little further on. Now, to be sure we get this exactly right, we want to read what Brother Branham said, which I just mentioned. All right. He is the judge, the supreme judge, and John saw that he wasn't in the day of his prophecy as a prophet. Neither was he plumb into the days of his kingship. But he was in the day of the Lord as a judge. Now, see him standing there, supreme in his deity. He's the judge, the priest, the king, the eagle, the lamb, the lion, the Alpha, Omega, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Now, just what would it please him to manifest himself as at any particular given moment? As is required. As is necessary. So he stands there. He's the judge, supreme judge. John saw he wasn't in the day of his prophecy as a prophet. Now, that doesn't mean he's not a prophet. Neither in plumb into the days of his kingship. That doesn't mean the elements of the king aren't there. Now, he said, now, that's not a never-never land. Huh. But he was in the day of the Lord as a judge. Now, that's where he saw him. And the emphasis as judge goes over into the day of the Lord, which is signifying at this time the winding up of all things. Now, if words mean anything at all from what Brother Branham said, this is a transition time from prophet to king. Now, let's just look at scripture. We're going to hold it right there. We go to Hebrews 1, 1 to 3. God who in many parts and many ways and spake in time past unto the fathers in the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Okay. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, the upholding of all things by the word of his power, when he by himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand of majesty on high. Now, Hebrews 1 to 3, which makes him prophet for 3.5 years, places Hebrews 2, 9 to 17, between Hebrews 1, 1 to 3 and Hebrews 1, 4 to 8. Now let's read on 4 to 8 for a minute. Being made too much better than the angels. Hath he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. That's what he inherited. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I'll be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings the firstborn of the world and says that all the angels of God worship him, and the angel said, who makes his angels fierce and minister flame of fire. But unto the son he said, thy throne, O God, is set forever and ever. Huh? Throne. That's king. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Alright. Now, between the prophet and the king. Hebrews 2, 9 to 17, we see Jesus was made a little on the angel. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, and by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Not every, but every. Not every man, but every. Because it's every seed.
For it became him from whom are all, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation purge your suffering. Army. You figuring out why he descended with the shout? Your captain. Army. Oh my. When are we going to stop talking about this one? Everything. He's everything. The captain of their salvation purge your suffering. I didn't say he's the captain of suffering. He said he's the captain of salvation. Amen. For it became him from whom were all things done. For both he that sanctifieth and he that sanctified are all of one. One source. For which cause he's not ashamed to call us brethren, because we are brothers. That's why it's not character. That's why it's not fruit. That's why it's not closeness. That's why it's not obedience. That's why it's not charismatic. Right. Yeah. All right. Listen. Let me tell you something. Something neat. Something funny. Oh, yeah. I'll read it here. You don't have to get it. Verse 3 of Hebrews 12. Consider him that endured such contrary sinners against himself. Lest you be weary and faint in your minds, you have not yet resisted on bloodshed against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you unto children. My son, despise not the train chasing the Lord, nor faint when you're rebuked to him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, scourge every son he receiveth. And if you endure chastening, God gives you a son. For what son is he whom father does not chasten? If you're not chastened, wherever we're all partakers, then your bastard is not son. You can do that scripture? You can have a man that's married to a woman, and she can have a lot of sons by him, and then mess up with some dame out there, and she can have a son by him. Now, they're sons. You can't deny the fact that the illegitimate child, so-called, is a son because he's a son. No, you can't. There's no way you can get away from it. He's still a son. But he's not in the son. He's not in the sonship of this. See? Just like Abraham had two sons, but God said only son. And I see he's not ashamed to call them brethren. See, God's not ashamed of any of us. Now, a lot of people, I'm trying to get this point, act like illegitimate. In other words, there's no way you can, they don't want to take correction. They get headstrong. They get belligerent. They get a mess. God cleans them up, takes them off the mat. Now, he's still not ashamed to call them sons and brothers. Now, you see, we chicken out there. We're a whole bunch of us. We got our own ideas. I'm not talking to be tolerant towards sin. I'm just talking God's word. That's all. What God says goes. Not what you and I think. Not what you and I do about it. It's what God says and what God does about it. Because he's intrinsically God, one of his words. We're not one with our word. Ha ha, we're one with our word. Except we're liars. Put it that way and just call it a day. Hi, heavens, that was a good one. Just get out of that pretty neat. Just liars, forget it. Saying, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren, Mr. Church, I sing praise unto thee, and again I put my trust in him. And behold, I am the children which God gave me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise took part. Now, he wasn't our flesh and blood. He was like us. Because he didn't have our flesh. He had God's through the genes that God put in there. Mary was just a chemical factory. He took part of the same, that through death he might bring to nothing. Him that has the power of death, that's the devil. And delivered them from whom a fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now they were there, they were through fear of death subject, we're not. He took not himself the form of angels, he took not on the seed of Abraham. Listen. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Between prophet and king, he's priest. By his blessing. When he became priest, did he lose the prophet? Now when he becomes king, does he lose the priest? No way. No way. See? Now. So. Hebrews 1:1-3 makes him prophet 3.5 years. And places the high priest between the prophet and the king. So the chronology is basically threefold as the fundamentalists tell it. Prophet, priest, and king. However, as son of man, he was prophet. And a son of man who was prophet, he was a lamb. But he never became a lamb until the day of the trial, the flame, and the crucifixion. The lamb became the high priest, which is high priest after the order of Melchizedek, which was to be king. See? Now, the lamb became the high priest, which high priest after the order of Melchizedek was to be king, is also and cannot help but be the son of man who is the prophet. And he came from God and went back to God. In other words, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. Now that's not the flesh. The unchanging Elohim who becomes. Now the word Elohim doesn't only come from the words El and El Elah, which means the strong one and the strong one bound by an oath. It means, and not only the unchanging one, it means the God who becomes. Well, you say you can't become if you are. Well, look, I'm up here a preacher. No. Bring me some food, I'll become the eater. I'm getting hungry standing here, brother. I said, don't like about coming to church this time of day. I prefer to have a great big meal. Well, I had been on here. Now, what I say, the music starts, and if we're Pentecostal, we become the dancers. I'm the same guy, eating, drinking, dancing, talking in tongues, preaching, telling jokes, writing a book. Same guy. See? Now, I'm becoming or manifesting what is necessary at that time. Now, you know God being omniscient, which is infinite, to the depths of the inner being who is love. My, what is he becoming? The wisest lover of all ages, and the only wise lover, who is able to do everything his heart of love desires. And he's the becoming God. See, in other words, the manifesting, the changing of the veil, the changing of the role. See? All right. He becomes or manifests and describes as titles what he becomes and manifests. Why are you going to manifest his judging quality? Because he's judged. He was, God was a judge. He wasn't born a judge. He didn't make himself a judge. He is judged. I'm not going to say was judged because he is judged. Wasn't, isn't, shall be. He is. Now, those titles describe what he is in the process of manifesting, or what he will manifest. Son of man, he's got to be man. Judge, he's got to be judge. Savior, he's got to be savior, what all that entails. Conquer, he's got to conquer. See? All those things. All right. He manifests them as is necessary. That is, his many roles and titles. And they are not all manifested exclusively in the flesh form. No. Now, back in Hebrews 1-2, he was a man of prophet. Now notice, it does not say once Elohim became a prophet in flesh, that the role of prophet was all over. Now that's where people make a mistake in the fundamental. They just die at this moment on. No more prophet. Well, I'm going to tell you something. They have certainly run out of spiritual gas as far as I am concerned. Because let me take you right now to Galatians 1:11-12. But I certify you, brethren, the gospel, which was preached of me, is not after man. For neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation. And that's the unveiling of Jesus Christ. The apocalypse. Jesus literally came to him in the pillar of fire. Now he is in the role of a prophet. God is. Holy Ghost. In a pillar of fire. He's not in a man now. Where's the man? He's a man. High priest. On the right hand. So prophet is not exclusively of the flesh. But God can only get to somebody exclusively by somebody's flesh when it comes to prophecy. So he uses men. But the pillar of fire stands there. One day God came down himself in the form of a man. Theophany. So there he said, Abraham. He said, this is that hour. All right. Those who believe they are getting, believe that. In other words, exclusively God had to deal in the flesh. So it's all over. Are getting mixed up with the body of sacrifice. Let's go to Hebrews 10 and 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down the right hand of God. It says this man. In the form of a man, it ended it. It was all over. See? They can't understand that Jesus is not a second person of the Trinity. The sonship of God in a man. God in a man. Now, it's hard for anybody to understand. In God was to be son. In God was to be father. Never grandparent. Right? No, none of that. In him was to be Savior. In him was to be healer. See? Now, he'll take everything except when it comes to personality. When you see this one here in Revelation, you'll say, well, hey, that is Jesus Christ, personal flesh. Now, you see, we've got to watch that one. Because Brother Brand said, in between prophet and king. And he never came back here as a prophet. Not in the flesh he didn't. See, so I'm telling you, fundamentals, because they're Trinitarian theory. They cannot see what we are seeing. There is no way they can see what we are seeing. Now, they might get so far as to see Almighty God and a man stand on earth and say, well, that man should be a prophet or could be a prophet if he was a prophet. But you understand Godhead and the prophet. There is no way they're going to do it. See? They can't understand it. Now, however, neither will he ever cease to be known as a lamb. Even though he is actually, absolutely king on the throne, according to Revelation 22, 1-6. Now, let's go back and take a look at it. Now, I'm going over this very, very slow, the best I can. And what I'm trying to show you is the changing of the mask. And sometimes there are dual roles. There are dual roles. Some river of pure water of light. Clear as crystal. See now the throne of God and the Lamb. Here's the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it. And so on. Verse 3. No more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it. There's the Lamb. Well, you see, what was it meant? Now, he died upon Calvary. That took care of the Lamb. Can never be anything but Lamb. Never be anything but judge. Because you're dealing now with the intrinsic qualities. The lay in God. Now, if you see, you want to relate this to the man of the flesh, you could say, well, he was the lamb. He was also the prophet, too. So you can't get back. You notice God is still prophet. And he is king right now. He's king of our hearts. Not of something else. All right, so once a prophet, always a prophet. Brother Branham even said that about a man. Samuel came back. He was still a prophet. William Branham is still going to be a prophet. Why? Because there's 420 elders up there. They're human beings. They don't change. Once a prophet, always a prophet. And the manifestation of that office lies within God himself at his own discretion, of and for his own purpose, and however he wants it to be manifested. You see, a prophet doesn't come on and say, hallelujah, I'm a prophet. I got letters. I saw those letters when DeCursey, and men wrote Brother Branham and said, Brother Branham, with your great gift, you can look beyond the curtain the same as Elisha did. We would like you to look into Russia and tell us what the Russians are doing. And Brother Branham thought it over. And he was interested. But he couldn't do it. Why? Because God's a prophet, not man.
Amen.
Like years ago, a fella came and he told me, this friend of mine used to be a friend of mine anyway. But since I wouldn't go deedy, he couldn't call it anymore. he said this guy came over and told him how he would sell his motel and for how much money. And the guy was ready to kiss this false prophet's feet, because that's what the guy was. I'm not lying about you, just telling you the truth. I know the guy personally, know him very well. Brother Brand told me what he is, so it's okay. And I said, listen, Charlie, I want to tell you something. Did that man's word make that property sell? Or was God just letting him in on a secret? And he told you. Shuck that guy. Don't he believe in deity? If he can't understand a little simple thing that and figure that out himself, he can believe anything, fall for anything. So I'm trying to tell you, a prophet isn't a prophet because I'm a prophet. Look, how did you do it? Words of a man will not do what those words did. Then when the man said a thing in the first place that came to pass, that wasn't his word. And neither will the next thing be his word. Right? No way. So what is it? God in his own discretion and his own time and his own manner is doing things. See? And manifesting, bringing things to pass. See? Now, to get back to the words of paragraph 170, Brother Branham does not say priest then king. He says prophet then king. Yeah. And John saw him. And he was in the form of a judge, the role of a judge. And he was king, eagle, lamb, priest, lion, alpha, omega, father, son, Holy Ghost, he that is, he that was, and he that was to come. At the same time of being a judge in a transition period. He had just previously and immediately been a prophet before. Prophet, judge, king. That's 100% true. That's the chronology. Let's go to Luke 17. Now, I'm using this scripture, and the point is that you say, well, you used that before, Brother Bill. I'm going to keep using it till you're just as thoroughly conversed in this subject as I am, because that's what it's all about. And if I'm wrong, you'd be just wrong as me. And if I'm right, you're right as I am. No problem. See, we're in this thing together. Now, when he was the man of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, hey, prophet, tell us. Wait, I'm a prophet to tell you. It's already here, and you can't see. It's on your nose. I'm on your nose. It'll come without observation. That doesn't say there won't be something to observe. Certainly, if it's a kingdom, it'll be observable. But it all depends what the kingdom really is. See, first of all, you got the right understanding. All right? Neither say here, there, nor lo, there, because the kingdom of God is in you. He said, I'm right here, right now, I'm it. In him is the millennium. In him was the kingdom. In him is eternal life. In him is the judge. In him is the savior. In him is the son of righteousness. In him is everything. And he's here. Said that in Columbus. In his millennium. A certain preacher not too far from him said, does Brother Bill believe that the millennium is already on? If I believe the millennium is on, heaven spare me from the lake of fire. Ha! Boy, listen, I want to tell you, we got trouble. Not just with this microphone. With what's ahead of us. This is the case here. Let's read here. And he said, disciples, the days will come when you'll desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you'll not see it. And they shall say to you, come on, they ain't going to see it. How's anybody, what's the use of anybody going to say anything to them? It's for a generation down the road. I'll tell you how it says that. He must suffer many things and be rejected as this generation. And they were part of that generation. So the generation to see it was another generation. And it would repeat exactly. Right there, and they wouldn't even know it. Tell us when these things will be. That takes a prophet. The prophet comes, they blow it. He fizzles. Roman candle, fizzles. Why? Because the Roman candle didn't stay and didn't shine the way the church shone. Which was a lot of hogwash. Look at these Catholics with their robes. And the Anglicans, and all the people with their robes, they dressed up like the Roman candles. They're the Roman candles. What came out of them? Nothing except death.
Amen.
Right. Christ's candle wasn't like their Roman candle. Couldn't stand it. All the washings and everything else, and here a fellow well met. Phooey. John the Baptist came and he said, listen, you birds, I got news. He said, you're rejected. Boy, did they like that? They didn't like that. We wouldn't like it either, let's be honest. Now, listen, he tells you about that generation, as it was in the days of Noah. That's when those days come back, at the end time. See? So, the days of, and I could read you right to verse 30, but I won't do it. Even thus will be in the day the Son of Man is revealed. See? In other words, that's the revelation of him. He's brought into full view again. That's what it says. When was that? The days of his prophecy. All right. 100% true. It's a real chronology. At the time of this prophetic ministry of Elohim, the man, the body is still Melchizedek in flesh. Yep. At the time of this, when Elohim must come into a man who is a prophet, and becomes a prophet by virtue of the fact of Elohim's presence, he will still be sitting there as high priest. Now watch how it goes from prophet to judge. We go back to Matthew 24. the last part of verse 3. The second last part. What should be the sign of that presence? Matthew 24, 23. They shall say, lo here, lo there, believe it not. Yet arise false Christ and false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch to be deceived. Now, it says at that time, the desire will be to see one of the days of the Son of Man. Those disciples won't see it, but this bunch will see it. Who's the Son of Man? Prophet. Now, there again is where your thoughts can fool you, as I started out before the message. You get your mind on Redeemer, 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 Lamb, 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 and you forget. Got to be a prophet first. Because the prophet was the Redeemer. A prophet Redeemer. The Word becoming flesh and blood. Now the word flesh and blood in a real prophet, in the sense of the prophets from Noah on down and so on, that wouldn't do it. It would take God in flesh to do it. That prophet's blood. That would be Redeemer. So here they're talking. At this time, the Son of Man, the prophetic ministry comes back. How does it come back? As it's always been, in a man. God is there. And the Word comes to that prophet. The Word is in the prophet. And that measure of God, or the Spirit, is the measure of the Word in that individual. Now it says, for as lightning comes out of the east, shines to the west, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. It's a revelation. It's the same light. It's the gospel. The same pillar of fire. As Brother Branham said, and I don't know how people can deny the presence of God. He said, just to think, he said, the same one who was here in the pillar of fire giving the Word to Paul is the same pillar of fire, the same God that's revealing the same Word. Now, how are they going to deny it? How are they going to turn their back on the presence? No, they can't. Verses 37, the days of Noah were, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. Now, it's presence. He's there as prophet. All right. Who was there at the time of Noah? I mean, the time of the flood. Noah. All right. It's going to be at the same days, and it tells you over in Luke, it's identical to the time of Sodom. Who was there? Abraham, a prophet. Who was there? God was there. So it tells you, categorically, you're looking at that time. Now notice, you could read it quickly. Two women grinding the mill, one taking one left. Watch, you know not what hour your Lord did come. Know this, if the good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come and would have watched, it would not have served to be broken up. Know, think, therefore, be ready. In such an hour, think not the Son of Man cometh. Now that is after the presence. And the word coming is different from the word presence. That is after. See? So one is the Holy Spirit in the prophetic office. The other is the Holy Spirit in the Son of God, the man, rather, the Lamb, the prophet, the priest, all of it, the human being part, incarnated. Now, notice my Lord delayeth his coming in verse 48. Begins to smite his fellow servants. The Lord will come in the hour, he looks not for him. The hour he's not aware of. And cut him asunder, and put his portion to the hypocrites, weeping and gnashing. That's the tribulation. That's not the lake of fire, the tribulation. See? Why? Because he's talking of the human elements. Not after the judgment. This is not the white throne, no way, shape, or form. This is the great tribulation. All right. Now, let's go to Matthew 25. Keep reading. Now, at that time, see, he comes to the chronology. Then shall the kingdom be like unto 10 virgins. Now, what time? At this time of the presence of the Son of Man, at the unveiling of the Son of Man. See, at the time that follows this prophetic unveiling, when he will come in flesh. He's talking about that period. They're going to be likened to the spiritual church will be likened to two virgins, two groups, five and five, 10 virgins. And it says at that time, a cry is going to go forth. Come out. Behold him. Now, at that time, they're going to be looking for oil. Now, Matthew 25, we said, the kingdom like the 10 virgins. At that time of the prophet, the kingdom comes into view, and we are told what Matthew 24, 40 to 44 is all about. Now, 40 to 44. Two in the field, one taken, one left. Two in the mill, one taken, one left. Watch ye therefore, you don't know what hour your Lord's coming. It has this very pertinent to this. Now, what's going on there? There is the taking of one and the leaving of the other. On what grounds? There's got to be a grounds. Then if there's a grounds, there's a judging. You just can't take one and leave the other. He said, well, I believe that's sovereignty. Oh, don't you give me that stuff. There is no such thing as salvation without a means. Saying, well, he died upon Calvary. God foreknew this. God foreknew that. And so therefore it doesn't matter if you get born again down here. You'd better be born again. Even those elect Jews under the fifth seal. It isn't just the sovereignty of God. It's the fact that Jesus died and they were blinded. And there's a genealogy and a chronology. See? It's not, you just don't go by haphazard. That God threw a bunch of fish in the kettle and brought forth a bouillabaisse or something and said, hey, that's going to be good. He had these thoughts all stored up for trillions of years and all laid out. And everyone is coming to pass into divine order. Absolutely tremendous. Now, so, that's Matthew 25, 10 to 13. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, they were ready, went with him to the marriage, the door was shut. Afterward, they came saying, Lord, open the door. And he said, I used to noise my wife, I don't noise my wife anymore. That's a divorce. Who gives the bill of divorcement? Go to the priest. Go to the judge. Yeah. Divorce took place. See what I'm trying to tell you? You've got here this transition period. When he died, he didn't judge him. When they crucify him afresh, he's got to judge him. See? Or is this a judging? Now, notice, Matthew 25, 1 to 13, concerning the virgin, is further spoken of in Matthew 25, 14 to 13, which is about the 5 talents, the 2 talents, the 1 talent, and the judging of the servants. That ends in verse 30, tribulation. You've been faithful. You've not been faithful. On what ground? Well, I gave you money. I gave you something. I wanted you to do something with it. And you didn't. How in the world can you make separation or anything without judging? See, I'm trying to show you something here. He always was a judge. But there comes a time when the qualities become predominantly manifested contrary to other qualities. The one that hung upon the cross was Lamb said, I can call upon my Father and he'll send 12 legions of angels and blow you higher than a kite. Roman Empire and all. And she'd have been gone. He said, I'll die. Pay a price. Lamb. You talked about power and authority. What was that song that said he could have, the one that could have formed 10,000 worlds hanged upon the cross there and just died for the world? Sure, see? Alright. Matthew 25, 31 to 46. This is on the great white throne. Matthew 25, 31 to 46. Is the great white throne and ends in the new heaven and earth and lake of fire. Thus we see, once the prophetic ministry is over, judging sets in. the repeat of the Son of Man ministry brings judgment. John 5. 27. And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Authority to execute judgment is not only to sit in judgment, but to bring it to pass. Because he is the Son of Man, without the prophet, God could not bring on the great tribulation, take a bride out of here, or anything else. That's what I said about the Roman candle. The first rung on the ladder is the prophet. And they say, prophet, ranting and raving. Every prophet fizzled. Yep. When it came to the pretentious, the predominance, when we're talking about popularity and churchianity, but there wasn't one person ever made it without a prophet, starting with God in the Garden of Eden. His own prophet. No way. I don't care what anybody says. There's no way. The prophet God veiled in the Word becomes robed as a judge to separate. Come on. Revelation 10. Come on, let's look at it. That's the same Brother Brand says this. Saw not a mighty messenger come down from heaven, clothed the cloud, rainbow upon his head, his face were the sun, feet as pillars of fire. Let me tell you something flat. I didn't know this the other day, but the Louisville carrier that carried the description of the mystic light that appeared over Brother Branham described it as it was, which it was, a rainbow. Now, to just try to find somebody somewhere that's got a copy somewhere or something. The rainbow came down. What was under the rainbow? The invisible one. The prophet saw him in a pillar of fire. Now he come down. Now, who is he that came down? The same one. Face it were the sun. I read that the other day, the other book. Showed you. Brother Branham said it's the same one. Because he put Revelation 4 as Revelation 1. Revelation 1 is Revelation 4 is Revelation 10. Why? Because it's not the form, the human form. No. Here's that great one, God, in the role of a judge. And here at the time is a, at the time this one comes down, lo and behold, there's a prophet on earth. So God's back to being his own prophet again. See? And a voice. Say, hey, John the Baptist, who are you? I'm a voice. William Branham, who are you? I'm a voice. Moses, who are you? I'm a voice. Voice of many waters. The cataract is at the last stage. Brother Branham mentioned cataract. He didn't mention any more floating around, did he? It's all over. She's gone. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. She's all over. If it weren't for him, it'd be all over everybody. But now that he's here, I'm here with him, I'll take care of you few. Now we can talk about the one who likes the water. The ones who sit back and hear their voice, it's just rippling. It's not a cataract roaring to us. Not anymore, it's not. It was once because it roared out the danger signals, but it's not anymore. It has become the joy of living. All right. Now, there is no other way. It could be no other way. See how this prophet, judge, works through. Let's go back to Johnny. Now that's the unveiling of that one we're seeing in the last hour. Now listen, the day of the Lord has two sides. Everybody says the day of the Lord, oh my, that fierce and great dreadful day of the Lord, going to burn everything up and do so and so and so and so. That's exactly right. When you talk about that side. What about the part, the sun rising with healing? You can't have that fire fall and not everybody get blistered. I don't care. That's why he said, I sent Elijah. And we're not going to be in that fire. No. We're coming back. We're coming back with him in the fire. John 8, 47, 58. He that is a God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not because you're not a God. What if the prophet came? Who's going to hear the words of the prophet? They're God's words. I don't care if a doorknob said it.
Balaam had a little old mule. An angel spoke to the mule. Well, I don't know if he really did or something, but the angel stood there and the mule talked. God can speak to you a tin can. Well, what's the difference? As long as it's God.
Right.
See, people don't want to know that. Wherefore, you're not a God. I don't care who comes. If that man's a God, a prophet, then answer the Jews, say we not well, you're a Samaritan, half a devil. Oh, brother, you talk about an answer that doesn't cut. You know that? What can you expect anything? Stupid is stupid. Wisdom is justified of her children. Jesus said, I do not have a devil. I honor my Father. You dishonor me. I seek not mine own glory, but one, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. There's the old judge. Verily I say, if a man keep my saying, you shall never see that. Judge. See, right, because that follows this. Who are those that are not going to see death at this end time? Will not die. That's what he's talking about, John, in Matthew 16, when he says, some of you stand here shall not taste death. Do you see the kingdom of God come in power? Or they didn't die. Now I said, a man keep my saying, never see death. Well, evidently, there's only one group of people that are going to have something to do with something concerning the Word, that it will be judged. Say, okay, tree of life. And I don't care what you say. You can say anything you want. But you can't get by that one. Because the blood doesn't do it, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost doesn't do it. Because they're dead. Now it opens the door to it. Then the Jews said, that takes a prophet. Then the Jews said, we know for sure you got a devil. Abraham's dead, the prophets. And you say, if a man keep my sayings, never taste of death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself? Look, they cast themselves right with him. They're dead and we're dead too. You think I'm going to say I'm going to die? I could die tomorrow, but ain't. Nothing tells me I'm going to die. Everything said I'm going to live. And you know the way I am. I'm such a perverse creature. I don't know if I'm happy about that or not. I'd like to get out of here in a hurry when I think, I praise God he kept me this far, so I know he'll keep me the rest of the way. This has been a rough time this last while, but I tell you, he got me through this mess. I can go through anything with him. Hold that boy. Not by myself. Not by myself. Forget it. I'm getting more and more useless. Oh, brother. That's the way it should be. Yeah, I know, brother, but it should be. That's the way it is. And God said, and Jesus said, if I honor myself, I honor nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Isn't that true? But every prophet comes on the scene and says, get out of here, bud. You got the wrong God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like you. Now, if you don't say I'm my Father or one, you're a liar. Especially if the reflection came. You know, people sneer at that. They don't want that. You know why? Because they know they aren't it. That's their testimony. Fact. Kind of nonsense. Sure, don't bother saying what he said. Let's take sides with Jesus. Here's a place to take sides with Jesus. Right here. See, blind omen, keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he sought and was glad. When was that? Way back in Genesis. Then the Jews said, we know you're not over 50 years old and you've seen Abraham. They said, nonsense. Why? He said, before Abraham was, I am. They said, kill him. Let's go back to Genesis 18, see the picture. That's the quickest way. Just kill the guy. Get rid of the prophet. No, just spit on him. Kill him. Watch him die. Lots of fun killing the prophet. That is if you're of the devil. Abel was a prophet. Abel was a prophet unto Cain. He wouldn't take it. He killed him. Isn't that true to life? God doesn't change. Man doesn't change. Thank God, God doesn't change. He's going to change man. Wow. Great, see? Lord said, shall I hide this thing from Abraham that I do? Seeing Abraham shall surely be a great and mighty nation, and the nation of the earth be blessed in him. For I know that he'll command his children, his household, and after him, they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. You've got to judge between the two. And the Lord will bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken to him. See, way down the line. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because the sin is very grievous, I'll go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me. If not, I'll know. He's going to judge. The men turned their faces and thence went toward Sodom. Abraham stood with the Lord. Abraham drew near. Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou destroy and not spare the place where the 50 righteous that are therein?
That be far from thee to do after this manner, to say the righteous with the wicked, and the righteous should be as the wicked. This should be far from thee. Shall not the judge?
Huh? Of all the earth do right?
What is it, judge? Now, if he came down here, what would he be? Especially before Sodom. What would he be? You can't change him. Now, I was going to read all of Daniel 7, but man, oh man. I don't think I can read all of Daniel 7. It's just a long, long chapter. Well, we read a lot of it there. But look. Now, he's beholding the vision of the four great empires, and he says in verse 9, I beheld, watching those empires till the thrones were cast down. It's all over. The Ancient of Days did sit. Garment, white as snow, hair like wool. His throne, just what you saw in Revelation. Now listen, that's an interpolation. Try to get my syllables in there, right? Interpolation. Something thrown in. He saw way down to the white throne. Well, watch the next words. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words the horn spoke. That goes back to verse 8. He's back now in history. I beheld that the beast was slain. What beast? That's Revelation 20. The taking of the Antichrist. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Who's doing it? This one. Yeah. The one, let's keep reading. As concerning the rest of the beast, had the many taken away, their lives were prolonged for seasons of time. I saw in the night vision, behold, one like the Son of Man come with clouds of heaven, came the Ancient Days, they brought him near to him. Now you're talking about the Lamb over here. He's brought to the Ancient Days, given him dominion, glory, kingdom, and all nations to serve him. What is it? This one that's seen here is the same one in human form. Coming back in Revelation 19. Kingdom given him, nations, language serve him. Dominion, everlasting dominion shall not pass away. His kingdom shall not be destroyed. That's Revelation 19. See? That's Revelation 20. Ruling and reigning. No ending of it. Over here takes you right to the white throne and shows you that same God. The judge of all the earth. The one in Abraham's day. Incarnated himself. See? And he's the one that was the incarnation or the human body is the high priest now. The Holy Spirit's down here. God himself is judge and prophet. Because you could not be judge unless you're a prophet. There's no way anybody can be judged without being a prophet. Oh, there's no way. Now this stupid system in America. If you've got enough popularity to be elected as a judge or some justice of the peace, you can work a racket with the cop. And he'll arrest you for speeding or not speeding and pull you in so that he'll cut the fine with you. God doesn't do things like that. God deals everybody with himself. Everything is dealt with by God, Holy Spirit, Almighty God, Elohim himself. You've got to come through the Son, through the work the Son did. But God himself deals with you. No man can come except the Father drawn. See, so the Son said, all the Father gives me will come to me. And the Father said, I'll raise him up for the last day to make sure he gets it. The Son was speaking, the Father and the Son was speaking. Hope you caught that one. Let's keep reading here. Now, I was grieved in my body, in my spirit, in the midst of my body, vision of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them who stood by me, asked the truth of this. So he told me and showed me the interpretation. The four beasts, which are four, are four kings. And they come, they rise out of the earth. But the saints, the Most High, shall take the kingdom and possess the king forever and ever, even forever. And I would know the truth, the fourth beast, and that was the Roman Empire. And I beheld the same horn, made war with the saints, and prevailed until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints. Same one. Now, here's the prophet, turn judge. What's he doing? He's already judged the saints.
He says, yours is the kingdom. See? You got a dual role going on. Brother Branham said, from the days of the prophet, he made a transition. He's not plumb into. He's not plumb into what is he? He's on the boat. See, sliding in. The thing is, we've turned the corner. People don't realize we've turned the corner. They better start realizing they turned the corner because we have turned. Brother Man said it takes prophet to turn the corner.
Amen.
See, once that prophet hits the scene, the elements of the judge are there. You see, the prophet sets the prophet is the element for the judge, and the judge is the element for the king. Because he's going to tell you who's going to be in his empire. Because he's absolute. He's going to put it all foreign matter. He says when this prophet comes on the scene and the seals are open, everybody outside qualifies as a dog or a whoremonger or a liar or a thief or something else. That's judge. That's judge talking. And you know that judge talking? He's the fellow that wrote the word. Our congressmen and our people write judges, write books of law, and they call in the judge and say, judge, what did we mean when we said it? And the judge said, well, I here's what I think you mean when you meant when you said it. And they said, yeah, but that isn't what we really meant. It's not working that way. Well, they said, that's too bad because that's what you said. That's how it works. Oh, merciful God. Can you see three gods or 40 gods or the church and assembly trying to figure out anything? One God. Oh, I'm glad he's one God. It's just what the old fellow that down in South Africa said. I don't know which president, which one he was, but he said, you know, if Moses had been a committee, Israel would still be in Egypt. See? Now, he shall speak great words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, think to change times and seasons, but judgment shall sit. Yeah. What judgment? The word judging. And the judging word is the word falling into place and doing what God said it would do in this hour for saint and sinner. Oh my, look at what's going on right now. That's all I'm trying to get across to you. All right. The judging God has always been and always will be judge. Hebrews 13 and 8. You can't change it. He was the judge in the garden. Genesis 2:16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may surely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. And the day you eat thereof thou shalt surely die. That's the judge. That's the law and the pronouncement of the law. Now, did he bring it to effect? He said, this is that hour. Point right to Adam right there. He said, it's over. He said, there it is. Now he was a judge in the Garden of Eden. Okay. I read Genesis 2:16. Genesis 3:22. Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. Now lest he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Now it tells you right there. We have become judges. And we're rotten judges. Because we know both good and evil. And we get it mixed up. God only knows good. Our intentions may be good, but we'll always mess around. Oh, I got, see what it is. You see, my child may suddenly become a dope head. So if my child becomes a dope head, I can't make this guy on dope for killing and raping. I can't sentence him to very much except the slap on the wrist because maybe his mother or his dad might have said, tut, tut, son, you shouldn't do it. See, I got a kid too. So the judge, he said, to perdition with the law on anybody else. My kid might do it. And the judge take money out of the table. I told you about my friend Bojo in New York. He was great in politics and everything else. His uncles were really tough Italians. And so one time they got in the business of making money fast, which is their own printing press. But you know, they forgot to turn the fan on long enough and they're slightly sticky and the feds got him. So they brought him into court and the judge, knowing him, brought him in the back room. He says, listen, you blanky, blank, blank, so-and-so. He said, why didn't you cut me in on it? And I'd have told you how to do it. Find him $25,000 and got him on. So they said, well, we should make some booze and get away with it. So they began making booze and cut the judge in. And every time there was a raid, 4 or 6 hours ahead of the raid, they moved out. So much for the knowledge of good and evil. That's what it is. See, we're miniature gods, we're miniature judges.
We're pretty cruddy in both. Except for the grace of Almighty God. See what I'm talking about? Okay. Let's go to Deuteronomy 1:39. Moreover, your little ones, which he said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them I will give it, they shall possess it. Now, you've got to leave the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to get in that promised land, brother, sister. You got to become one with that word. And when you do, you become a true judge. Because you will know the difference between righteousness and wickedness. Now, you're identified with the judge. Identified as the lamb. Identified as the eagle. Identified as the judge. Identified as the lion. Identified as the king. Right down the line, identified as priest because he's a man too. And we also bear intercession for others. But you're identified as the prophet. Because you're the word, the fulfillment of the word that he brought in his measure. You're identified right now with the judge. And this is one of the greatest days in history because it's the only day that a group of people can go to the tree of life. Then for once, they don't know good and evil. They just know good. Why? Because the word. Alright. He was judging Abel's day. Yep. Cain and Abel. He was judging Abel's day. And that judgment was because of religion. Abel was righteous. Cain was wicked. Both religious, only one had the Spirit of God. The original Antichrist is Cain because of Satan. He distorted the revealed word. Right back there. He put the flowers on the altar. He put the fruit on the altar. It was a first fruit offering he put there. He had no business putting it there. Because the lamb came first. So the prophet comes before the judge. Amen. And the judge before the king. Amen. Now if you don't say the right thing back to God, as Brother Band said, not about these very things I'm talking about, he said, you missed it. I read that last Wednesday, I think, to you. Was it Sunday? I read it right out to you. You got to say the right thing. He said, like Hattie Wright. I read it to you. Show me the very thing you're talking about. You got to know what we're talking about. See? Now, remember, the judge that says you're free, not guilty, is the same one that says 20 years in jail.
Right.
Yep. Now, the original Antichrist was king. That's in the flesh. God judged between righteousness and wickedness. Yeah. Go back to 1 John. Everybody gets all messed up here. Verse 11, for this is a message you have heard from the beginning that we should love one another. Not as Cain. Who was that wicked one that slew his brother? Wherefore slew he him because his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Now he's talking about love. This is the message. The beginning of the message of God's love. We should love one another. We should have the same revelation that God has and revelation toward each other. We should both be listening to the Word of God, the same revealed Word. Then we'd have real love. This other stuff is hogwash. Unmitigated tripe.
Amen.
Not even fit for soup because it's too stinking rotten. Because they've left them junk inside of it. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil. The evil work was not killing his brother. The evil work preceded the killing of his brother. What was his evil work? Worshipping God. Outside the division of the word. You say, well, he didn't love God. Ha! Judas gave Jesus a kiss, and it wasn't a peck. In the Greek it says an affectionate kiss. You have a lot of affection toward people. It was wrong affection. It was not based on the word. Now listen. There, one man's deed was righteous and one was evil. And they both approached God. And what they did was in the Bible. Cain's was in the Bible. Because the scripture said, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, so Cain's sacrifice was excellent. Why? Because it was Bible. Joining a church is excellent. Why, listen, even not paying for Mass, but doing your own Mass, that's great. Do your own praying. That's fine. Ain't going to get you nowhere. Because of something better. See, the part gives way to the whole. And the perfect will gives way to the permissive. In other words, it takes over, rather. Permissive gives way. Because the perfect takes over. That was your perfect has come. Now, this was the first genuine, perfect revelation given to born people. What did you do there? One man went haywire right now. Next man said, this is it. And it wasn't what they really did. It was what was behind it. Which one had a revelation, one didn't. Because Abel would come the next day if he lived. And maybe he did live long enough to present the first fruit. And God bring the fire down on that again. He devoured the burn, the sacrifice. He devoured the first fruit. And Cain stands back and says, well. Something's answering back to that guy. Now, I can't get back to what's answering back to that guy, but I can get back at the guy that thing is answering to. He said, look, I put the flowers there, I put the fruit there, and I didn't get a benefactor. So I'll just kill him when I'm the only one left. He'll have to take what I've got to offer. That's why the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestant churches have killed consistently. Because they think they can bluff God. And the devil said, I'll kill him, and he'll have to turn to me. I never heard that any child that had a father was an orphan. And you can't kill God. So ain't nobody going to be an orphan. And you can't kill the kids. So God ain't going to be without children. Devil pulls every rotten trick in the book. Now, God judged between righteousness and wickedness. Now let's go to Malachi. I might get there too soon, but it's hard. I always return back to it. As soon as the thing strikes me, I want to read it. In the third chapter of Malachi, in the 18th verse, speaking of this last day, these people that talk a common language, which is the word. Verse 18, then shall you return and discern between righteousness and wickedness. It does not say they're righteous and the wicked. That's a wrong interpretation. Translation. It's righteousness and wickedness. Then between him that serves God and him that serves him not. First of all, you've got to be one with that word. Then intuitively, instinctively, by spirituality. You'll hone right to it like that dove fell upon Jesus. Didn't fall on John, fell on Jesus. Yep. See? It was the revelation that made the difference. The beautiful manifestation was evil. Though based on the word and a part of the word, that is the why of Hebrews 1, 1-2, and the foolish virgin with the lamps. See? God spoke in different ways at different times. Till it came time to do this. Now, the word of prophecy had left the prophets. And he was there. The word of life of seven ages had gone out of the plant. Now, he was there. It's not that that word isn't good that the Lutherans have. It's not that the Pentecostals don't have genuine gifts. But the life is gone. Follow what I'm saying? No longer will it work. Seven church ages of Israel, he came. Seven church ages of us, he comes. Hope you're getting it. Hebrews 6. Understand what I'm saying. People, it's hard to understand. I don't know why. It's clear as mud, they say. It's like crystal water from the throne to me. Therefore, leaving the principle of doctrine to Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Listen. You mean to say there's coming a time when that is not necessary? Well, try feeding a Jewish corpse chicken soup. Cures everything but that. Is there ever a time when this doesn't work? Yes! When there's nobody left to get it. How about making some more insoles? Nobody wants them. That's when you leave this. The doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead. No, not even resurrection. You ain't going to have one. You say, you mean I'm going to die? No, you ain't going to die. Perfection. See, the life has moved on. He stood there as a prophet. I am the resurrection life. He that believeth in me, though he is dead, this is that hour, but he that liveth and believeth in me shall never perish. You believe this? That's a prophet. And the judge is there at the time of resurrection. But we don't get resurrected. Huh. We're separated. Come out of here, my people. Prophet, judge. See? Now the full manifestation of the judge is yet to come. But we're under it. Trying to show you this. Okay. Where to go from here? Oh yeah. Tell you that. Alright, now the understanding of that great key is in Genesis 18. Now we're talking about this judge. For this hour. And the effect of it. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. That's verse 1 of 18 chapter. As he sat in the door of the tent. Now the Lord appeared. 8-10 verse. And he said, I'll certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. Now listen. I will return unto thee according to the time of life. Who was there when Abraham and Sarah got their change? Who was there when she got pregnant? He says, I'm going to return. That means I'm going to come back again and see you again. Made a promise. This is that day. He was there with the promise and he came back again to fulfill it. Appearing. Coming. Sarah left. Who needs that junk about a prophet? Verse 14. Is anything too hard to the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. And Sarah shall have a son. This is indicative and prophetic of the royal seed, Jesus. I believe at that hour God stood there and gave back Abraham the ability to create, to bring forth sperm again, and Sarah's womb to come forth in life. Not that he created egg and sperm, but he brought it back. Turned back the clock. 17-25. Lord said, shall I hide this from Abraham? I'm going to do. Seeing Abraham surely become a great nation, mighty a nation, and all the nations earth be blessed in him. Why? Because he, why, certainly he was going to be. Now he's going to bring forth nationhood. I'm there appearing. I'm coming back to do it. I'm going to make you a nation. There's your picture. Who's doing it? Elohim. Who's doing it? Lamb. Who's doing it? Judge. Who's doing it? Eagle. See? 19:23-29. The sun was risen upon the earth. Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained Sodom, upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from heaven, overthrew those cities. His wife looked back. In pillar saw it. Abraham got up in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. He looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land, the plain. Behold, lo, the smoke was of the country. The smoke of the country went up, the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Now, here's your great destruction. They said God remembered Abraham. In other words, there is no time under any consideration that the saints aren't under the preeminent and primary consideration of God, and all else falls in line. So that the flood that took the world out kept it for Abraham, and the fire that fell is for one who's going to fall, rather. At this point, remember, God remembered Abraham. He said, Abraham, he said, what I destroyed down there, you can have it back. Give it back to you now. You can have it. And the fire that falls is going to bring us back here on the earth. Now, he is judge of all the earth. As it says in Psalm 50 and 6, for God is judge himself. Why is he judge? Let's go over here to John 5. Now we're moving right along. We'll get there before 2 o'clock in the morning. I keep you here till 2 o'clock in the morning. I will buy you lunch, a dinner. If I keep you here till 1 o'clock, you will take me out and treat me. That's a very, very good little system I got worked out here. All right. John 5, 25, 27. Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming. And now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so he's given to the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now it tells you right there that life absolutely is a guarantee at the time of this judge. See? Now remember, judgment on the earth does not come until after the first resurrection. See? Now he's telling you that this judgment is at the time of life. So therefore the judge in the first and second half of the first resurrection is entirely different in his pronouncement than his judge after. See, how did he treat Sarah? Not the way he treated Lot and the rest of them. The rest of those folks. Now, let's keep moving. Now, why is he judge? I read it. He is the Son of Man again. Luke 17 and 30. In the day, he is revealed as the Son of Man. That is the time. Two be sleeping in a bed, one taken, one left. Two grinding in a mill, one taken, one left. Two in a field, one taken, one left. Where? At the rapture. At the soma. At the bringing of the word. And the fulfilling. He is judged now following the revelation of Isaiah. Elijah. In Revelation 10, 1 and 6 and 7. Because remember, in Revelation 1, that same one comes down. In Revelation 1, in Revelation 4, comes down in Revelation 10. It's the same one because Brother Branham put it there. Said it's the same one. In Revelation 1. And you know, he called that the Holy Spirit. He didn't call it anything else. He said God, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit comes down. Sets himself at the head of the church in order to raise the dead. He's judging right there. Because he's saying who his church is. I saw a mighty messenger come down. There he is. Now listen. Time's no longer. Verse 6. In the days of the voice, the seventh messenger, when he'll begin to sound the mystery of God, should be polished, finished, absolutely done with. As God had declared the good news of his gospel by his servants the prophets. All right, you got it right there. Now, let's see about that. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. And verse 1, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Notice the judging. Appearing and kingdom. That's epiphaneia. And you can't take the epiphaneia and solely put it as a blinding light. Because people were blinded at the appearing of the pillar of fire in the day of Paul. It was Revelation. The same light appears in the west. All right, there he is. The judge. I didn't say he did. That's Luke 17 and 20. Let's go back and look at it. Let's get our scripture all lined up here because it's saying, it's talking about it. And it's 17 and 20. The answer when the kingdom of God should come. All right, it is appearing and his coming. And he's coming. When is the kingdom of God coming? It's here right now. What is he? Judge. See, all the potentials are there for the rapid movement into it. This is also seen in 1 Thessalonians 4. 13. Not have you any concern them in our sleep. You don't sorrow as those who have no hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so the lost will sleep, and Jesus will God bring forth with him. This is saved unto you by the word of the Lord, that they will our lives remain under the presence of the Lord, shall not in any way take precedence over them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ lies first, and we alive and remain, caught at the meet together in the clouds of the air. All right. Now, what about 2 Thessalonians? I've read it for you before. That's where he hit. Now, I'll read it to you. 2 Thessalonians 2. I want to put these together. Notice, here's where he comes, and he's dealing with the bride. Here's where he comes, and he's dealing with the wicked. That wicked shall be destroyed with the brightness of his presence. Even him whose presence is after working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all the deceitfulness of unrighteousness to them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, they might be saved. Now who's going to decide that? That's the judge. You go to the judge. A man sues you. And before you can even go to court, the judge has got to know you've got a case.
All right. You came to my house and I got mad at you. And I sue you in court because I said that you scared off the little men from the flying saucers. They were just coming in the back door. You ain't got... I got no case. I got no case. No little men coming in the back door from flying saucers. We see what I'm talking about here? When you're dealing with judge, you're dealing with law, statutes, judgments, ordinances, and former pronouncements that have been valid according to what was said. Cases are built on precedents. If you tell that to a Christian, he doesn't believe he's the same yesterday, day, and forever, and does what he used to do. He's got his own ideas. He's not a Christian. He just thinks he is. See? All right, look at it. Here it is. Now, he said, watch. And then the love of the truth, then they perish. It didn't have the love of the truth, and they perished. For this caused God to bring a strong delusion. They should believe a lie. Why should he? What right has God got to do it? They turned down the other. So what right has the judge got to put me in jail? Because you did it! Now, a dirty judge can put you in jail when you didn't do it. But God's not a dirty judge. We'll find out what he's like in a minute or two. Just a couple of words I will use. Y'all might be damned that had pleasure in unrighteousness. They had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's Cain.
Amen.
Dividing and acting on the word without authority. What authority? True revelation. Here. Now watch. We're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had to interpret his word to the people. And they turned it down. Now, this same gospel is what he's talking about when the Antichrist is here and we're gone and we come back. Now, what makes the difference? Getting back to the original word. Who's going to do it? God's going to do it. How's he going to do it? By a prophet. Now, he's going to take a bride away. See, what right has he got to do? Well, you mean to tell me that he wouldn't be judged? Don't you understand this is what this is all about? We've been hearing the seals and everything else. It's so we can judge between. He is the great judge and we are the minor judges. That we've been set up to have truth within ourselves? Because the truth is in us by the word of the living God, which is a revealed word. Our gospel alone can do it. It's the same gospel of Galatians 1 and 11. And it's the same pillar of fire that wrote the book is revealing the book in this hour. Who gave the word to Paul is here now as prophet turning into judge. Revealing it exactly as he gave it in the understanding of it. To see that we make the rapture. He is here. The judge is here. He is separating the chaff from the wheat from the chaff. Let's find out. Matthew 3:11-12. I indeed baptize the water in repentance. He that come to have these mighty nine. Whose shoes I'm not worthy one to loose to bear. He'll baptize the Holy Ghost in fire. Fans in his hand. Thoroughly purge his floor. Gather wheat in the garner. Burn up the chaff. Who says so? Says right here. On what grounds? Whose fan is in his hand and a fan creates a breeze and the breeze separates. All right.
Let's go to Acts 3. Verse 19, middle of the verse. When times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That is like a fan. A person uses a fan to get a breeze because the room's too hot. You're creating a breeze. All right. This is a revival breeze of miracles and signs and wonders and healings. It's that which has stirred up the air and the atmosphere in the church. The judge is there exposing himself. It's separating time. Now before he can separate, he's got to be prophet. So the signs and the wonders give the people something to look at. And if they're like you and I was in these meetings where you weren't, you knew if you had what that man had in a measure, you'd say, hey, got to watch that guy. He's got it. Amen. Boy, I sat there just as hard as a rock and his back slidden as they come. Well, not his back slidden. Look, I never was out there drinking, whoring around like a lot of guys and robbing banks. I might as well have been, but should have been, but I wasn't. I was more or less a pussycat kind of a guy, did on my head. I always said, and it's the truth, I've always had them rotten kind of sins, not them good ones. You know, shooting up the town, that's a whole lot better. That's the stuff I pulled up. Yeah. You know, you could be ashamed of what I did, what the guy out there in the street did. You'd be ashamed because he had guts to do it. You know, not ripping off little old ladies and things. I didn't do that, but... But yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I was hard. I was hard as the hubs of the proverbial Hades. I'll tell you, I was. I sat there. When I saw him, I knew that was nothing but God that did it. See? The fan in the hand stirring things up was that great revival of power that pointed to the restoration ministry, which was the word which you had to be a part of for Jesus to come and get you. That's what it says here. He can't come until you've been restored. No way. Got to have that word. That is where he is prophet judge. But you see, the chips of judge, bang, 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 aren't down until the bride's out of here. But he's already started. Because in him is everything. In him is creation, millennium, the whole thing's in there, see? All right, now, it is separation time. As it says in Revelation 18:4, come out of her, my people. As it says in Revelation 3 and 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And he that heareth my voice, he says, come on in, I'll come and sup with you and me. And he said, I'll grant this to him to sit in my throne as I am overcome and sit down on my Father's throne. That's the Lamb off the mercy seat, Melchizedek, but still priest. With the Father pointing us to him. See? End time. And he said, look, I sat in the throne, and I'm going to give you the chance to sit in the throne. Now, the people that are gods take that opportunity. They receive the word, which alone has life. And that life bursting from the word and your cells forming around it automatically is like the particles pulled to the magnet. Now, a magnet is a judge. You go into a shop, like Brother Brown said he was in, and they were doing steel. And doing aluminum works. And they had the great big lathe. And the Brother Brown said, man, he said, that's a lot of work. He said, to clean up those shavings, the guy said, he didn't do it. Let me show you. He pressed a button, a great big magnet. The magnet pulls up all the metal shavings, the steel. There were some other shavings lying there. And Brother Brown said, well, now, just a minute. He said, why don't those go up? Well, he said, those are aluminum. He said, they won't be drawn by magnet. The magnet was a judge. The spirit will draw. He's a judge. Isn't it simple as ABC? Right from the very beginning, he always was a judge. See? And when he went down to Hades, he proved it. He went right by the door of the wicked, looked in the window and preached at him, and walked back and emptied the cell of the righteous. See, he always was judge, the judge. And he manifests. And this hour, he's coming more and more into it, as Brother Branham said, as we are coming more and more from the shadow to the substance is coming more and more into his substance, the reality. And we're attracted to it. Now, remember Genesis 18:23 and 25 said, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Has become the order of our day. Now watch it. 1 Thessalonians 4. Now, hear what I'm saying. I won't have to read it all to you. This is where he talks about the Lord descending with a shout. Now, let's go on down further. It says at that time in verse 3 of chapter 5, they'll say, peace and safety, come sudden destruction. That's exactly what he said in Matthew 24 and what he said in Luke 17. But you, brethren, are not of darkness that day should overtake you. You're going to miss the destruction. You're the children of light, the children of day, not of night, not of darkness. We're not sleeping. We're not drunken. We put aside all these things. Why? Because verse 9, God hath not appointed us to wrath. We're going to miss it. The judge said, come ye blessed of my Father. See, in other words, the attributes of the judge within him is responding to the last day as before Sodom and Gomorrah when he personally came down and took charge. Now listen, it is Luke 17 and 30. So it'll be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. the apocalypse, when he's unveiled. And that is followed, of course, by chapter 18 in the book of Luke. All right. Verse 1. And he spake a parable concerning this day in which we live where the rapture will take place. Men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying there was in the city a judge which feared not God nor regarded man. And there was a woman in that city, and she came saying, avenge me of mine adversaries. Now that word avenge means that which proceeds, one, from justice, two, to vindicate a person's rights. Now she was a widow, as in the days of Elijah. Elisha had a widow too. Now, avenge me of mine adversary. That was, I demand justice. See, I want to be vindicated as to my rights. She went to a judge. He would not for a while, but afterward he said, though I fear not God nor regard man, this woman is a troublesome old pest. I've looked into her record, and she ain't got a thing worthwhile, but if that's what she wants, I'll give it her. I may have to blow a few things up, but I might as well let her have it. So the unjust just said, now hear what the Lord said. He said, hear what the unjust judge said. He said, I'm just going to give it to her, although she ain't got a case on her own. Shall not God avenge, see, his own elect, which cried day and night, though he bear long with them? He can't hear their prayer to get out of here and own the land until a certain hour. See, I tell you, he will avenge us speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith? In other words, when the Son of Man ministry returns, is there anybody be good looking for it? Were they believing this is really the hour? They've looked for it for years. I've looked for it ever since I was born again. 50 years ago. This is the hour. Now he said, hear what the judge says. Shall not God avenge? Shall not that which proceeds from justice to vindicate my elect take place? Sure. In the day of the Son of Man. When he's here as prophet. See? Now, I'm going to let you go. One quote. We'll talk about it, maybe. The Son of Man has come from glory and is revealing himself for the past few years to his church in mercy, showing them his great presence. Past few years? And why they try to make it 2,000 years?
Right, amen.
According to these meatheads that I come across and want to fight, I can retaliate in kind. Don't worry, I'm liable. I do too. Yeah. He says, what does he say here? Showing his great presence. Oh, for the past few years. Then he's been here for the past few years. That was said in 1958. A few years is from 33. 25 years, quarter century went by. That's just a few years. Man, quarter century, 25 from 68, that's 43. That's not very long ago. In a high here. And man, he didn't have any backaches then. I don't have too bad a backache, I'll tell you. Lord's good to me. There's sure a big difference. But 25 years, or 25 years, nothing. He's been here for the past few years, showing his great presence. Sometime later, he said, this healing ministry's been going on for 30-some years already, and he said that that appearing was in the healing ministry. In other words, the visibility of God on earth at one time was a human body, and the visibility today is in these specialized miracles that Brother Branham had. Thus saith the Lord. Then the word came forth. Now showing his great presence, doing the same things he did when he was here on earth, revealing himself like he did before the destruction. Noah's day. Abraham's day. He has come now in mercy, revealing himself to the church. The next time he reveals himself, it'll be in judgment on the earth, on nations, nations that forgot God. Now, this thought here, I want to bring you to, so we can proceed further. Now, he's judge. He's judge of the righteous as well as the wicked. Because he's judge. He can't change from being judge just because there's some righteous folks that he died for and rose again and gave him the Holy Ghost. Can't do it. Because we all appear before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ to give account. There's no way you're going to change it. Now, there's a transition period, as Brother Branham said, from prophet to judge. It's also told us in the scripture that that one that descends with a shout and a voice, right after that comes wrath. Right? 3.5 year tribulation. Then comes the last day. Now, the judgments of God get set in the earth in 3.5 years. That's judgments on the earth. But the bride also is judged. But she's not purged. See? Earth is purged, church is purged, Jews purged. Bride's not purged, she's already got a purging. Because, you see, she is a true child, and she's receiving her training. See? But we're looking at the scripture today, and the major reason I took this as long as I have is to get you acquainted with the fact that in him was to be judge. And he's always been judge. And he can be a judge again and again and again if he wants to be. Because he is. See? Now, he couldn't be judge unless first he was prophet. There's no way. Because where there is no law, there is no sin. Amen. Now, there's no way that you can judge a man if there's not something to judge him by. Now, how could you judge this generation today if he wasn't already here with something whereby you can judge it, and that intrinsically, automatically sets forth a judge? So what I'm trying to tell you is this, in this period, there is the moving from the prophet right to the judge. It's been going on. And at any time, I don't know when, the pressure could start to come where the squeeze comes down, the false church starts coming right against the bride, things are getting tougher, which will mean the demand of the bride out of here, and the judge cracked that whip. In the meantime, he is judge. And that's what we want to go into next Sunday, like I thought I'd go this Sunday, and show you where Paul calls him the righteous judge, the same as Moses did. But he goes further. He said, the righteous judge shall give me a crown at that day. And all them that love his appearing. He is already judge to the bride. But remember, it's pretty hard for a judge to sentence his own wife because he cannot receive evidence against her. Can't do it. So the Lord bless you. I hope you begin to see now that he, the great multiplicity of the titles, the names, the whole thing lies in Elohim, the great God. And though he incarnated himself in Jesus, that did not mean, all right, it's all over. There's nothing more he can do. You simply got to just look around. Maybe Jesus will come back. Everything work out. That's not true at all. They missed the fact
that God himself, of Revelation 10 and 1, has come down Amen. With a prophet and manifested himself once more in and through human flesh, has brought us this word. And this word is the criterion. And where that word is seen, in whatever person is seen in, makes the difference to the great seal. He becomes the judge seat. All right, that's fine. The Lord bless you. Let's rise at this time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace. And we know, Lord, that time is running out. We know, Lord, perhaps you have not said in your word we ought to have long meetings. You said we ought to have more meetings. The more we come together, the better it is. We don't wear ourselves out. But at least, Lord, we thank you. We have had the opportunity this hour, and you've given us strength to bear one with another, to go more and more into your great word, which shows us that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And no way in shape or form is there any change in you, but you being God. You manifest, reveal, and do those things which are absolutely identical or identified or one with your characteristics. Which great one now is to be prophet again in our midst. And not just prophet, but you're the actual God Elohim creator, creating around these old dead cells because of the word, new and living cells, getting a people ready for the dead to come out of the graves. I'm going to create bodies for them. I'm going to create new ones for us, Lord, so we won't have these same old bodies. And take away all those things that absolutely have no right and can have no right because in a glorified body they don't exist. All these things, Lord, we know they're there. We know you're the judge. You're judging between. For you said one's going to be taken and one left. That means a judging between. And Lord, it is quite possible. In fact, we would believe, as the prophet said, that once more at this hour the fullness of God is seen once more. And he even put it in the form of, say, bodily. Whether he meant that the bride had formed a figure for him or he in himself, a figure of Jesus Christ temporarily, knowing that he was no redeemer but a great prophet of the hour, absolutely could be the carrier of Elohim, even as God was in the prophets. We don't understand all these things. But Lord, we do appreciate the fact of your word and we accept them. And maybe a little later on you'll help us that our minds might be let go and expanded to where we can see the infinite beauty, not the infinite himself, but the beauty of it and understand more of the infinite in him being his own applier and him being the application, you yourself. See that and rejoice in it and understand through revelation a little more of the depth of it. Maybe we won't get that far. We know, Lord, by your grace, we're going to get all the way to the rapture because even now you've showed us that there's no way that the elect that are meant to be caught up without dying, there's no way that they are going to be part of that resurrection except to be just like them. No preeminence given them. They'll be like them, but they're not going to see death. We're going to go right on beyond because that's a promise this hour. Lord God, to him, we appreciate that. And we thank you for it. Now, Lord, be with those as they go on the road. We pray that you'll give them health and strength, Lord, and give your people great rejoicing, perhaps as never before, Lord, knowing we're coming into the final moments of the ultimate. And we just praise you for it, Lord, that you have given us health and strength to this hour. And we know, Lord, that very shortly that sweet spirit is going to move amongst us. We believe without a doubt, it'll be very, very soon now. When we look at time, how it's gone on by, there just simply can't be too much more time left. That sweet spirit be amongst us, the dead out of the graves, and we're all changed. We thank you for it, Lord, and every desire of every heart's going to be met. And we know that's the hour that you standing amongst us here, ready for that great rapture, before you go back to incarnate yourself in that person, that great one of the Lamb, the people will be in that position to say, death hath no power. There's no fear. Absolutely nothing. And my people shall never be ashamed. Never once again. Because they'll stand here so in your will that they won't take the word over till you let them take it. But they'll stand here so in your power. We know, like Jesus hanging on the cross, and I could do it right now. We know there's a bride going to stand here and say, we could take it over, but we don't want it till Father says so. We know that, and we appreciate it very much that we're coming to that place where there'll be fit subjects once more to take the earth over. That's wonderful to contemplate. And we praise you, Lord, that we have within us the witness, and that does it. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's just go singing, take the name of Jesus with you, because I think that's about the best we can do. You take that.
You'll be fine. All right. Go ahead there.